ending story. It has a happy ending. Oh, okay.
Sponsored by Come Get It Records 2012. We support Brian the Hammer Jackson, and so should you.
Hi, this is Sally Kirkland, and I'm on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson, and I do want to have his baby.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global. Hello, France, Holland, England, and some of you, seriously, some of you, and I got an inbox letter, one, but I got one. Hello, Gaza. Hope everything's going well. What's happening in Gaza today? The world is going nuts. Hopefully there'll be a kind of peace treaty going on in a couple of hours, and maybe the shelling and the fighting will stop, hopefully, crossing my fingers, that they can have a ceasefire there. We have a big show today, a really packed show today. I am without my board executive producer, Diane Mills-Dillon and Jeffrey Bertrand. So I'm here flying blind, so I'll be working the board myself. Please be patient with me. Today's guest on the show, and I had a pleasure of talking to him before the show, will be Travis, and I will get to everybody. Here we go. Let me introduce our sponsors first for the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. I want to thank On the Lot Production, Melissa Cottle, Come Get It Records, Wayne D., CEO, The Grimps, Richard C., Sir Giovanni, and from Film Blanc, Naomi Weiss, and Ernie LaJoy Sr., my favorite guy in the world, undercover cop. I'm not going to call him a cop, he's more than a cop. This guy laid his life on the lines undercover, broke up more cartels than anybody. He has a great poem called The Prayers, and I think he's working on a film called The Prayers. Hopefully he'll come in and let me know the update on that. And, of course, Johnston's Clothiers, proud sponsor of the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Our guest today will be Melissa Otto. She will come here. She's going to talk about her Indiegogo campaign. She has a great campaign, and she has other things going on regarding if you are an actor, business, whatever, you're looking for a brand, she can tell you how to get your brand together. And then after Melissa, we have Travis Mills, who I just spoke to. Great guy. And he's here to discuss his Kickstarter campaign. I like to hear about this. He's going to make 52 short films in 52 weeks. That's like a film a week. All of adaptations of public domain literary work, written to take place in present day Arizona. Running Wild Films is dedicated to developing local film in Arizona. He's focused on developing a cinema that is supported by the community and has an international audience online. We're going to speak to him. And also Xavier. Xavier, you probably don't remember the name or know the name, but you heard the voice. This guy's voice is unbelievable. He is the voice now of the world. Anytime you heard a Pepsi commercial, Budweiser commercial, NBA voiceovers, chances are you heard Xavier. He's coming on today. He's going to talk about what he's up to now and his latest projects. Let's get really, here's when I usually talk to my guests. I'm going to open this up. And here we go. 1 second, and I'm going to talk to Travis in a minute, but I have a call here. Hold on, Travis, and welcome to the show, Travis.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. 215, I'm coming to you live. You're on Ryan Hammer Jackson Show. Your name and where are you from? Let's try it again. 215, area code, I'm coming to you live. You're live on Brian the Hammer Jackson Show.
Yes, hi. This is Dawn, the Duchess, and I'm from Turnersville, New Jersey.
Hi, Dawn. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Dawn.
I've been told to call in and convince you guys why you should vote for me in the Click Start Me Spokesmodel contest.
Yes,
and
I remember.
And I promised I would, and here I am. So you said I had 40 seconds.
Yeah,
so,
you do. Yeah,
okay,
you know
so...
I'll start. Everybody, I saw Dawn on the Facebook. Beautiful lady. She's trying to get some votes. She wants you to vote for her. And Dawn, 40 seconds.
Yes.
Tell us why we should vote for you and how can we vote for you.
Okay. You would have to go to quickstartme.com, and it's for the spokesmodel contest. And currently I am in seventh place. The other girls have had 8 weeks to complete this contest. I have only had 3 weeks to do this. I am in seventh place. I really deserve it because I am a 20-year model. I've won Miss Pennsylvania. I was Miss Hemisphere. I have 2 law degrees. I can be one of the best spokesmodels that this company is absolutely looking for. And if I do win, my actual thing that I will be supporting is the cure for breast cancer. And everything will be made, all my products, for breast cancer and to help. All the money will be donated to the cure for breast cancer if you vote for Dawn the Duchess. And currently, again, I'm in seventh place.
Okay, well, we're going to have to get you out of seventh place. Now, but you also mentioned something. You have do you have a son or a daughter that has spinal problems?
I have a son, and our insurance company has failed us, as most people could say. Every 8 months, they only pay for a brace once a year, and he's got kyphosis, which is the hunchback of Notre Dame disease. And our insurance company only pays for 1 brace a year, and he needs 2 braces a year or he'll wind up in a wheelchair by next year. So we have to pay out of pocket at this point for the second brace once this one cracks. So the money, the physical money, will go towards my son's back brace so he can walk and stand up straight. So this means the world to me and my son, really it does.
Well, Dawn, give everybody the links again. Please vote for Dawn. You can tell she's an intelligent lady. She has, what, 2 law degrees, 3 law degrees?
I have 2 law degrees, 1 in criminal law and 1 in personal injury law. So I work very hard for both my degrees, and I'm very proud of how far I've come in life. So please vote for me and help me out. I really would appreciate it.
Okay, Dawn, the link once again. I'm sorry?
I just voted.
Oh,
done.
There you
go.
Travis, see? Travis pulled in for you, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Travis.
You're welcome.
Yay! But again, it's quickstartme.com. It's a spokesmodel contest, and I'm currently Dawn the Duchess in seventh place. So let's move me all the way up, and I promise I will not fail you guys. And thank you so much for having me on your station. I am so honored. Thank you.
Oh, we're honored, too. Good luck with the sun and good luck with your cause. Go get them, Dawn. We're voting for you.
Thank you so much. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
You too, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, dear.
Thank you, Travis. That's really a nice thing for you to do.
No problem. Sorry I interrupted.
Oh, no. That's what the show is about. Speak your mind anytime, and I'm really glad you did. You made somebody very happy. Travis, here's what we have here. Kelly booked Melissa first, and she booked you second, right after Melissa. And so if you like to hold on to the show because we're going to come to you, you can hang in there because I would love for you to hang in, or anytime you have a question, please jump in. It'll be great to have you. Okay, so we're going to go with, I think Melissa is on here. Let me see.
Yes, hi.
Hi, is this Melissa?
Yes, it is. Hi, Ryan.
Hi. How you doing, Melissa? Travis is on with us. He's our second guest, and he's nice enough to hold and listen to your interview.
Oh, hi, Travis.
Hi,
how
Melissa.
Are you?
Doing
great. Melissa, I'm just going to do a couple of things really quickly, and then we're going to write to you, I promise, okay? Okay, this is going to be really quickly. Like I was saying, the world's going to the pieces. Everything's going upside down. Now we have sex scandals, but we always had sex scandals, but now they're going to Muppets. What happened to this world when we have a Muppet in trouble? Now, of course, you guys are hearing this. I put it on Facebook, and it says here, I hate to tell you, there's going to be no more Elmo. He's off the air. He resigned. Sesame Seed Workshop says Elmo actor Kevin Clash has resigned, calling sex allegation distraction. That means a lot of our little kids are not going to hear Elmo, see Elmo. There's going to be no Tickle Me Elmo. You cannot buy Elmo. He's gone under a sex scandal. Sesame Street is a dirty, dirty little street. Now, here's the allegations, and if somebody wants to call in and correct me, go ahead and do it. Take your shot. Apparently, the guy who is the puppeteer or muppeteer of Elmo had a relationship with a 16-year-old boy. Now, the 16-year-old boy put out these allegations when he was 18. Then he recanted the allegations. Then he went back to say he was coerced that they made him to recant. So all this stuff happens, and the guy says, you know what, screw it. Elmo's gone. My question to you, if you're listening to me, I know what it is. The guy owns Elmo. He has the rights to Elmo. Do you think this is justice? I mean, is this one of those things like, you know, he did a bad thing, but Elmo's an institution. He does so much for the kids. What's your thoughts? I say bring back Elmo, free Elmo. That's just my thoughts. What say you, Travis?
I no opinion. Sorry.
No opinion? Okay, what say
no
you,
opinion.
Melissa? Okay, what say you, Melissa?
Almost done as a brand. There's no way you can revive him. He's absolutely over. The affiliation that he had with children is, there's no way that you can bring that back. There's no way you can wash that image now. He's done. That's
wow.
Why he resigned.
Wow, Melissa. Okay, let me
true.
See. I think, well, I you know what?
Just from an economic and culture standpoint, he's totally done. I mean, that's like, kind of like when there's smoke, there's fire, there's a second person who came out, you know, who's now, there's a second accuser. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to guess there's going to be more.
Yeah, it's never just one. I agree with you. But it's Elmo. But I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. All right, we're going to get more into that later. Let's hit for the top box office. Here we go. Twilight finale wins box office. Who gives a crap with this crappy movie? But apparently you do. It's number one. Number two is Skyfall, which is a good film for all people to go to. Should be number one. Number three is Lincoln. Lincoln is a great film. And number four is Wreck-It Ralph. And number five is Flight with Denzel Washington, which I think sucks. Those are your top five. Anybody who goes to the Twilight saga, to me, are idiots. But who am I to say? I love you anyway. I got some bridges for you to buy in New York. What say you, Travis? How about these people who are going to these Twilight movies? What do you think?
Well, the girl I'm dating went to go see Twilight last night, so I got to make fun of her. That was good. That was good texting material. I saw Skyfall. Very overrated, in my opinion. Movies are too long these days. Way too long. Cut 30 minutes out of that thing. Whatever. What happened to telling a story fast, entertainingly, an hour and a half film? That's what I want to see. Not this Dark Knight, Lord of the Rings, Bond stuff that's 2.5 to 3 hours. And I haven't seen the other ones, so I can't speak to those films.
Well, I understand, and you're a guy, and I respect your opinion, and I would break up with her right away.
No.
Okay. Fine, don't listen to me. You're just a guest. I'm kidding, Travis. Melissa, what do you think about people going to Twilight?
I think they're ridiculous, but it's a cultural phenomenon for a certain group of people, and it has some nostalgia for them because they grew up with it, so they're going to go. I don't know. I just don't get it. They're the most boring movies I've ever seen, and they're supposed to be horror movies. The faces don't move.
Exactly. I don't know if there was any acting in any of the movies. It was ridiculous.
It's just like shot, and it's terrible. You fall asleep. I tried to watch one. I couldn't stay awake for it. It was awful. And then they mumble as well. So they're like,
oh, come on, it's not that bad.
Oh, yeah, they're all good.
Now, Travis is in love. Now, don't remember, his girlfriend went to the movie, so don't rattle his cage.
Well, how old is she? That's why I have to ask.
Uh-oh.
She actually hasn't told me her age yet. No, she's not a teenager.
Melissa's a troublemaker.
Exactly.
I apologize. I didn't know Melissa was a troublemaker.
Sorry, Twilight.
My pick for the week, if you're going to the movies, I really like this movie, Wreck-It Ralph. If you really want to have a good, I think Sarah Silverman is fantastic in this movie. I think it's a great movie. I think Denzel Washington is over. He does snooze fest. He walks through his movies. I'm sick of it. I think his day has gone. Any thoughts between us? And then we'll go on with the show. What do you think, Travis, your filmmaker? Denzel Washington.
Denzel? About Denzel?
Yeah.
You know what? I've never been a big Denzel fan. I think that he's the perfect actor for the majority of audiences because he doesn't do anything daring for the most part. And like you say, he just sleepwalks through the films. So he's not one of my guys, that's for sure. I wouldn't want to work with him.
Yeah, I agree. How about you, Melissa? You're a filmmaker too.
He's an actor that's a celebrity more than an actor. So he always is the same in every role, like Tom Cruise. Like, you know, the range is very limited. But that's, you know, he's bankable. He was excellent in what was that one movie where he was, at the end, he smoked the cigarette, and it was a poison cigarette. It was really good.
Oh.
Yes, that was an excellent movie. That was a great movie. But, you know, people can get bored of that over and over again, you know? It's like the same people and doing the same roles for the same ends. It's, you know, it's like, oh, okay, look, it's another action movie with Denzel. All right.
You know what? I agree. But you know what would be a great role for Denzel? I'll tell you the truth. And you guys tell me about this. The great, perfect role for Denzel will play Obama. What do you guys think? Think about that for a minute.
No.
He's too old.
No?
He's too old.
No. I think that would be
good. Maybe
would they give him bigger ears?
Really age him,
to Travis. Now, see, Travis is getting mean. Look what you did to Travis, Melissa.
Sorry.
Little ears. Once you say a word, hold on, we got breaking news. Gail Murphy may be on. She on now? Let me see. Gail Murphy is upset about the news with Elmo. Hold on 1 second. Give me a second here. I love Gail Murphy. I got to get back to the page. Diane, are you with me yet? Oh, she is here. Okay, Gail, how are you? Welcome to the show. You're live with Brian Hammond Jackson.
Oh,
well,
put the stake through my heart right now. Just do it.
No.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
Talk. I posted it. What's interesting is I posted it on my Facebook page.
Wait. 1 second. Let me introduce who Gail Murphy is. She is royalty of the entertainment business. I could go with E! Television. She's a correspondent for All News. I'm going to say a little gossip. She may not like that, but from CBS, NBC, E!, everything. This is Miss Media Entertainment here. Gail Murphy. Okay, I'm sorry. Continue.
I posted it, you know, Kevin Clash, who is the big daddy of Elmo. He's a very famous puppeteer. He's been at the Henson Workshop for about 28 years. Allegations were just released about 3 weeks ago. A 23-year-old or 26-year-old claimed that he had sex with Kevin when he was 15, and then a day and a half later he recounted. And today, the workshop released that they were accepting his resignation, citing his personal life as too much of a distraction that none of us want. And so I'm thinking, what the F, right?
Right.
But so
I'm with you.
I posted that on my Facebook page, and you're more than welcome to chime in. But what I'm finding is information that I haven't seen in any of the reports I've read, that he, you know, paid the kid to lie, and that he paid him $125,000, and that a second accuser came forward, and the first accuser said he lied when he recanted. So I don't really know, you know, and I wrote back and I said, oh my gosh, I haven't seen any of that in any of the reports I read. How crazy is the media, right? What?
Well, to be fair, there was a press release from Kevin saying that he invited the boy. Now he's 18. Now, let's not call him a boy. He's 18 now.
18. He can vote and all that other good stuff.
Right. He invited him to New York with him so he can discuss personal matters. He did. So it looked like he did have some kind of relationship.
He did.
He said
that he did have a relationship with this young man. Mm-hmm. but the young man was not 16.
But the young man claimed he was 16 when they had a sexual encounter.
Recanted, and then he apparently recanted that and said, yes, it's true, we did have a relationship, but I didn't tell the truth when I said that I was 16.
But doesn't it bother you, Gail? And here's why. Okay, I understand that. Now, I'm standing out looking from the outside in. You have a relationship with someone. Then you claim that they abused you when you were 17, knowing that it could ruin your career and destroy you. That was a vindictive act right there. Once the genie's out of the bottle, you cannot put him back in. And then he says he recanted that, and then we hear Kevin giving him a ticket to New York. Now, I'm for Elmo. I don't want Elmo to go. I swear, and it's hard for me. And I, you know, this child allegation with this, and I'm so confused. What do you think about that, Gail?
Well, you know what? I'm a little bit confused, too. You know, people's personal lives are messy. And especially when it comes to emotion and feeling, people are capable of doing some strange things, i.e. General Petraeus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is coming on the heels of that. How people allow themselves to, as my grandmother would say, act such a fool.
Right, right.
And it's one thing if you're not famous. Another thing, if you're famous and you aren't behaving yourself like a saint, I mean, you aren't really coloring in the lines, you know. I almost think that's the good thing about fame, because it really teaches you to buck up. I mean, I've interviewed so many people in my career where the question is, well, isn't it kind of crappy that you can't go to a lot of these restaurants to eat and whatever? And I remember Tom Hanks saying to me, I just eat in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just pick and choose where I'm going to go, because it's, in so many cases it's such an unholy alliance. And especially with these young actors, the paparazzi are tipped off that they're going to be there because...
Sure.
The belief is that...
And you know who they're tipped off by, Gail? You know. They're public relations people.
It's their team.
Sure.
Their very team tips them off. But, you know, you kind of... It's hard when you're young and that happens, because who's going to say no to you? And also, when you don't really know that much, you rely on your team. And they say to you... well, listen, this is how it's done, and this is how you should do it, and all publicity is good publicity. You'll laugh about this 10 years from now when you get your Academy Award. Look at Paris Hilton. Look at Kim Kardashian. It hasn't hurt their careers. They were able to turn
you,
it around.
You know, we have to have you on. I love you to death, but we have to stick to the thing with Kevin.
Kevin, yeah.
Yes, there you go.
I digress.
If I don't reel Gail in, she'll...
You
she
know
has
that.
A lot of info, and I could talk to Gail for hours. But, Gail, let me ask you something. Let me just give you a question here. If the allegations are true, if they find that they're true and he did have relations with a 16-year-old boy, Elmo has to go, would you still support Elmo?
Well, you know, they'll just get another actor.
Well, not necessarily. Depending on, we're going to go into litigations here. If he has the sole rights of all Elmo's work, all Elmo's legal, if he has a legal license or anything Elmo, you may not get another actor to portray Elmo.
You know, it's probably unlikely that he does, because, Henson is like Disney in so many ways. when they have actors voicing certain parts that people get to know, something happens there, that's a whole other thing.
But the question
and
is...
And things aren't really done on improv. They're done on improv sort of when they're on the Today Show.
Okay, I understand.
Well, and they're doing scripted stuff, it's scripted stuff, and it's really just about bringing life to it. And I would suspect in these situations, just as in Broadway shows, they have seconds, they have stand-ins.
But again, we're assuming, but again, when we're in the Muppet world and licensing world and brand world and marketing world, it's a total different animal that we're dealing with. But I'll ask you the question. If we find out these allegations are true, and are you willing to support that Elmo must go?
Well, you know, I'm not going – I mean, here really the choice is art for values. Art for values. And the fact
I agree.
That,
for the greater good, is that what you're saying, the greater good?
An 18-year-old man cannot fool around with a 15-year-old boy.
Right. We know that. And that's repulsive, disgusting, disgraceful.
Period.
We all agree on that.
Yeah.
But then we're thinking what Elmo has meant to so many children over 50 years. So is it greater good that we do get him replaced and let Elmo continue? Or
yes.
Do we kill Elmo?
No, we don't kill Elmo. Absolutely not. Absolutely not, because Elmo didn't do it.
Well, like I said, you know, fame is a bitch with a bad period.
Well, you know,
it's rough.
That it will be that they probably won't go on to chat shows, and the fact that children won't even little kids won't even understand it, get it, and really won't have any value for them, and they'll just continue to do scripted shows.
Well, you know, it's hard, and I have to have you on a show next week. We got to debate this because I love you, and we're on a time thing here, and you're royalty to me.
Oh, honey pie.
Oh, yes, you are. Don't you deny it. You're royalty. You're like the queen of entertainment media.
All right.
So thank you, Gail. I want to thank you for coming on, and we will discuss this because I do want Elmo to continue. I am disturbed with the allegations. It will come out, and somehow it will all work out because money is involved, and when money is involved, it works out.
Well, I think Elmo is bigger than Kevin. I'm sorry to have to say that. When Kevin takes such a right turn like that, I think we're on the same page.
We are on the same page. I will talk to you soon, and I will go make a comment on your page. And thank you so much for coming on.
Happy
I love you to death. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
To you and all your listeners. Love you.
I love you, too. Hey, Gail.
What?
Gail, before you go, what is the name of your book?
Oh, it's called Interview Tactics, How to Survive the Media Without Getting Clobbered, The Insider's Guide to Giving a Killer Interview. You got to tell it to sell it.
You got it. And how do they find it?
Go to my website, interviewtactics.com, or you can get it for iPad and Kindle and all those other devices at the usual place where you buy your e-books.
Thank you. And Kelly says hello. She loves you to death. Thank you, Gail.
Hey.
That's a great Gail Murphy, everybody. I love her to death. She is royalty. And anytime, anything entertainment, you want to go to get the truth, hit her up on Facebook. Gail will tell you. Okay, guys, we're running behind. I know we are. And we're going to go right to our interview with Melissa. Hello, Melissa.
Hi.
Okay. That was a surprise, and it was a very happy surprise with Gail. I love her. Diane, are you here, please?
Yes, I am.
Thank you, Diane. Everybody, welcome Diane. She is my board executive producer. She's here to make sure everything runs smoothly. I was flying blind until her and Jeffy Bertrand. I hope, Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, physically.
Thank you. Thank you, bro. Thank you. All right, well, listen, let's get to it. All right.
Hi.
Everybody, our first interview is Melissa. Is it Alto?
Mm-hmm.
She has an Indiegogo campaign, and she's also a substantial broadcasting business, giving actors, brand, journalists, comedy troops, and content creators a platform to monetize their content, direct their audience. You're a busy girl. Tell me about your campaign. Tell me about your Indiegogo campaign and then the film and everything.
Sure. Well, what it is it's a platform to allow independent content creators to have their own TV channel that is reachable worldwide on any device, whether that's HDTV, Buddy Boxes, those are like Roku's and Boxy's, PS3's, available on mobile. So instead of sending your traffic to a free site like YouTube and getting their traffic stats up and then reselling your traffic and audience that you've created to their advertisers while you're getting a tiny portion of it, you could have your own channel that's available worldwide that allows you to make money directly off of your audience. And also to control the ad space completely. It's completely up to you whether or not you have ads, whether you have a particular sponsor, or whether you hook up with an ad network.
Okay. Now, Your customers, who are your customers at this point, your customer base that you're trying to reach?
Well, who I'm trying to reach is anybody who has a library of content that's there or has the ability or desire to make content on a regular basis, like a TV show, like a chat show, a news show, whether they want to, you know, produce content like... There are many YouTube series that exist that actually spend a lot of time and money making them, and they make some money off of what they do, but they could make a lot more money directly from their own audience. So
okay.
I'm trying to basically reach anybody who has a library of content or the ability to make content and wants to reach a worldwide audience.
Now
I'm racing about... Oh, sorry.
Okay. Now, let's describe content. Is content could be a video on YouTube, it could be my own webpage, it could be, what is content?
Well, it's basically like an app environment. So in that app environment, you have video on demand content.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a live stream.
Mm-hmm.
You can have image galleries, and you can have audio streams.
Now, when
so
they
you
use
can have...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And then the other part of the app functionality of this platform is that you can do things like accept donations and payments directly through your presentation on, you know, this platform, whether it's on a Roku or on web TV or, you know, Boxy or some sort of delivery device. Within one or two clicks, your customers can be purchasing subscriptions, could be purchasing video on demand, much like Amazon Plus. Could be purchasing events on demand. And this is, like, really good for tours and venues. If they want to, you know, create a library of events and sell some of them live and then the rest is available free, that brings not only an audience to, you know, their bar for these events, but creates revenue for people who can't attend it and also creates a lot of interest and buzz. You know, so like House of Blues, if you want to see that kind of example. You know, and it's also good for bands. If you're going on tour, you could actually, you know, broadcast your entire tour through this platform. If you're a nonprofit, this is really good. You can do a PBS model. And a lot of nonprofits have, you know, a huge archive of content that they could be putting online. This is really good for comedy troupes because they're always doing different kinds of events and they're always doing little skits. And this is really good for people who are independent journalists because you can broadcast from anywhere in the world to anywhere in the world. So
this is fantastic, especially for indies. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, what do you call this?
What I'm doing right now is a media co-op, but it's basically a broadcast video broadcast platform. For IPTV, meaning it's basically a internet or internet protocol, but not necessarily internet video platform that reaches all different devices. So the back end of it is really important because it's very nimble and it will grow with whatever emerging device comes out. Because you know, there's always a new device, there's always a new kind of television, there's always a new delivery option that you can send content to. So this back end, instead of being focused on just one platform like a Roku or iTunes or whoever, this back end delivers to all those platforms and makes sure that whatever is coming up is also addressed really quickly. So you don't have to recompose and, you know, and recompress your content. It's all taken care of.
Now, who is your competition?
I would say... There are a lot of small companies out there starting to do this, but there's also a couple of huge companies that are also trying to do this. And one of them is Brightco.
Mm-hmm.
Brightco.
You don't have to mention them. You don't have to mention them because we want to go to you.
Yeah, but it's a growing market, and I've been basically working towards this for about 10 years. So I've been paying really close attention to this, you know, convergence, and now it's connected in social TV, and the concept of really freeing up media because,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's clear, like we were just talking about Denzel Washington, awesome,
mm-hmm.
you know, great actor, but we see him in a small cast of other major actors, and that's it. You know, I want to see other content. I want to see diversity. I want to hear different voices. I don't necessarily trust mainstream media.
Mainstream media it's not mainstream media anymore. It just turned into a salacious, headline grabbing machine.
Yeah, oh, totally. It's completely corporate owned, and the concept is basically this. And this is what blocked us from having freedom of press, freedom of media before. It's been a closed pipe, limited access, very expensive. And because you're owned by major corporations and there's lots of government control, everything is monitored and everything is monetized. This way, the pipe is now completely open. There's no FCC oversight on this platform. It's international reach. So, you know, it's not one of those things where it's going to become like the cable business, where there's consolidation. It's cheap enough to do this now, where you can, for basically the startup cost of a website, you can have your own TV channel.
Now, let's talk dollars and cents. I have a little segment I always talk, I call it dollars and common sense. Now, how much do you need to get this program up and running, or you already have it running, you're just looking for customers at this point?
Well, what I'm doing is, the platform is up and running. There are a number of customers. I have a great partner that I work with. But, you know, that's a high-end cost. Well, I wouldn't say high-end. It's more expensive than doing the co-op. The cost to sort of start your own channel begins at between $5,000 and $6,000 for an FD channel delivered on one device to up to, that's per year, to up to $15,000 per year on all devices, HD, live streaming, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what I'm offering with the co-op, and I'm happy to take any customers who want to do this and have the capital to, you know, do that kind of pricing up front.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Contact me. I will set you up today. But what I'm doing with the co-op is I'm offering people a chance to test out their content and concept at a much lower price. To buy in at anywhere, if they just have a clip that they want to test out on this platform, all the way up to, you know, complete sub-channel, which is, you know, $3,000, is a much lower price point to test out this and also be a part of the profit sharing. But my goal with this is to make this happen as a co-op, to get a beta tester, a group of broadcasters, get them launched, find out who actually has viable content, viable audience, and then get them their own channel. So my co-op is an incubator. My co-op is the place where people can begin to become a sustainable broadcaster on their own.
Now, what are you offering? I understand them buying in. Once they buy in, I'm sure you're working with them. You set them up because this is an investment to them and to you. So what could they possibly make by coming into this venture here?
Okay. Depending on the price point that, you know, we charge for the subscription, if we have 1,000 users, depending on, you know, where the audience comes from, 1,000 subscribers, who are willing to pay $5 a month, that's $5,000 in income. A small portion of that goes to overhead, you know, for video hosting, platform administration, et cetera. The majority of that is income that is profit shared amongst the channel co-partners. So that's just the beginning. And this is really about, you know, how can we collectively grow an audience? How can we, test out the branding of different sub-channels? I'd like to give examples of, you know, who's done this really successfully so far. And there's some really surprising people. You're going to laugh. One of them is Glenn Beck. In the, I know, you're gonna die when you hear this. The numbers are gonna kill you. He's been doing this for a few years now. He's like one of the people who had his own Roku channel. Who embraced the subscription model completely. You can't see his content mostly unless you're a subscriber. So what he had in September of 2011, he made $2.3 million in 1 month with 230,000 subscribers at an average rate of $10 per month. Subscription. That's just in 1 month. That's what this platform has the power to do. So it's really about engaging your audience and getting that support and buy-in from them. And instead of traffic, selling that traffic to free sites like, social media, YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook, Vimeo, they're great sites, but use them to drive traffic to your own entity and monetize that. Get your audience to buy in.
When I was an intern, working with Glenn Beck, I asked him a question one time, and you know what his answer was?
What?
Well, I don't know if you're a fan of Glenn Beck. Are you a fan of Glenn Beck?
I think he's interesting.
Well, yeah,
I think he's very successful.
I just asked him
amazing.
A simple question, and this is what he said to me.
Uh-huh.
Look, fuckstick, I'm incredibly busy, so why don't you get the hell out of here before I snap your dick off and jam it into your ass?
Thank you, Glenn Beck. I appreciate your help.
Oh, that's perfect. But on the other spectrum, there's Alex Jones. They're both extremes. Alex Jones and Prison Planet is also in this space, and they're also making quite a bit of money simply getting the subscription model and getting their audience to buy in. There's everything from channels about libraries of old Western movies that somebody obviously bought, and they're selling a subscription of 99 cents. And that's passive income if you have that kind of library. There are people who are doing live news reports. There are people who are launching their own news channels, but all of the mainstream news channels are on there. And the great thing is that you're going to be presented in categories at the same level as these major broadcasters. When you're in different, for example, if you're on the Roku Guide and you can go to the website, when you look at the different categories, like news, you're going to be at the same level as NBC, Al Jazeera, CNN.
Well, I have to ask you a question. Let's say I have a when you're saying content, okay, we're with indies. We like them. And let's just be honest. Not every indie project is a good project. I've seen a lot of sucky-suck stuff. Now, if you got some guy coming in, let's say they put down 3,000, this is my platform, and he's putting his content on there and it sucks just as bad, can you really make a profit with this system? I mean, I know the system gets you out there, it gets you a brand, it gets you who you are, it gets you an audience, but, I mean, can they really succeed on this system if they have really bad content?
Well, it depends. I mean, you look at some of the content online that people actually pay for, and if you make it cheap enough, and let's say you build a 4chan audience because your content is so terrible, it's almost offensive.
Like the Twilight movies. Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly. For every kind of taste, there's content out there. But it's not just about the ability for me to expose you to billions of people worldwide on these platforms. It's about your engagement with your audience and will they buy into your content. That's why I'm doing this incubator, this co-op model, which I believe actually is going to be the model that is going to happen for, independents. Groups of different content creators are going to get together and create their own channel groups, their own content library. So that's that's amazing.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is, Melissa, I'm going to ask you to hold on if you can, but what I'd like for you to do is give us all the information that we need to get a hold of you because we are interested in this and we want to make some money for the holidays.
Awesome. Okay. You can reach me at the Indiegogo page itself if you're interested in actually buying into this, subscribing, donating, funding. It's indiegogo.com/multomedia, and that's MULTO media. You can also reach me at my website, multo.com, MULTO.com. And I'm on Facebook, Multo again, and Twitter, Mixi, MIIXXY.
I'd like to talk to you off the air because I might be interested in some kind of deal that maybe you and I can make. I also have a special message from Sari to you. Kelly is my executive producer. She gives me content as I do the show. She keeps me up to date. Sari Singer wanted to be on with you to support you, Melissa. She sends her apologies, but she's going to try to make it sometime today to say hi to you later. And she
Excellent.
Wanted to be on with you, and she wanted to support you, and she does support you.
Okay, great. And well, let me know when we're going to talk about, you know, what's happening in the Middle East. Let me know if we're going to be talking about at all what's happening in the Middle East, because there's
Oh, we sure are. And that's why I want you to hold on if you can. I hope it's not costing you any money.
No. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, that's why I want you to hold on, because I think Sari's coming in. We're going to go right to, we have a jam-packed thing today, and I'm going to have you finish the show, Melissa. Today we have three great guests. You just heard Melissa. She has an opportunity. I think it's fantastic. It's not only an opportunity, it's an investment. And it's a better investment if you're going to do this than go ahead and throw your money away in the stocks in the economy today. I mean, think about it, and we're going to have her on later on. Two more guests, great guests. I talked to this gentleman earlier, and you probably heard his views earlier, and he has no comment whatsoever on the Twilight movies.
Nice. Yeah, you got me in trouble, man. You got me in trouble.
I know it.
I'm teasing.
I hope your girlfriend calls me and yells at you.
She should. She was talking on Facebook with me just a second ago, saying that maybe you gave good advice. Maybe I should end it right now.
Oh no. Hey, if you do,
no.
Hey, have her come on. We can have an exclusive like Oprah. Maybe she can cry. No, I'm kidding.
Damn.
She's a great woman. I know she is. We can talk about her later. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our second guest, Travis Mills. He's here to discuss his current Kickstarter campaign. 52 short films in 52 weeks, all are adaptations of public domain literary work. This is crazy. Travis, are you out of your mind? 52 short films in 52 weeks? Ladies and gentlemen, Travis Mills. Talk to me, Travis. Tell me about this insanity.
Well, like you said, 52 films, 52 weeks, one every week. They're all public domain literary adaptation. So that means I've taken stories by Edgar Allan Poe, Mark Twain, James Joyce, Joseph Conrad. I've adapted them to present day Arizona, where we're shooting everything, and that's about it. We're gonna do it. I
wow.
might not live through the process, but
wow. Now let's start. I have a segment called, you know, Dollars and Common Sense. Let's start from the beginning. You have a Kickstarter campaign.
Correct. 13 days to go on
okay.
our Kickstarter campaign.
Now, let's go with the beginning. How much money do you need to fund this project?
We're asking for $10,000, which is really super minimal considering what we're going to do. You know, I've figured out how to make good films for very cheap. A lot of people will spend $10,000 on one short film. The people I went to film school with would do that. I've never understood that. If you're resourceful, you can find ways to do films for cheaper. You know, you can borrow equipment. You can find actors who are still very talented, willing to volunteer their time for a good script and a good role. You can find locations that will let you film there, and then in exchange you promote them on Facebook, you know, and that kind of thing. You can find your food for free from restaurants that you do the same thing with. You just work with the community. So, like I said, $10,000 is what we're asking for, but that is so small compared to what films are usually made for.
Now, are you saying $10,000 for 25 short films?
For 52.
Wow.
52.
Oh, my God.
I can do it. Yep.
I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you. Wow. Okay, let's see where we are. Now, where are we as far as raising the funds? You need $10,000. What do we have so far?
We're at about $6,500 with 13 days to go.
Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad. That's not bad.
No, it's not bad. We're doing good,
okay.
But we need people to chip in. I mean, the minimum pledge is $1, you know, and I think a lot of people hesitate to give $1 because they think it's not enough, but guess what? It is enough, you know. If 1,000 people give $1, that would be amazing.
That's unusual. They usually start minimum $5. But,
yeah, Kickstarter actually recommends now. I don't know if they have in the past, but now they recommend and maybe even insist that you have $1 pledge. So,
I can tell you an old joke, and it's true. Sorry, it's really painful, but it's true. I shot a couple of movies. I was really proud of this movie. It was a short. I needed to raise, I think it was $10,000, $15,000. Anyway, I went on Kickstarter. True story. I didn't raise anything. In fact, I was so bad. My film stunk so bad that Kickstarter called me up for collection, say I owe them money for putting my shit up there. It's an old joke. True story. I guess that's how they make money. Okay, so talk to me about the gifts. Travis, do you have any gifts?
The rewards? No, I don't have any gifts for the show right now. But there's plenty of rewards for donating, for sure. There's lots of great perks. So if you go on our Kickstarter page, you can see those. For every amount, there's something really cool. We did a video called The Perks of Being a Kickstarter, me and one of my actors, that's worth a laugh, and it'll kind of show you what you can get out of supporting us.
Okay. Is there any producer credit, any kind of credit whatsoever?
Absolutely. $500 is associate producer credit on everything, all 52, and $1,000 is executive producer credit on all 52. And beneath that, there's, you know, you can be an extra in the film, you can have lunch with us on us, T-shirts, you know, exclusive Blu-ray packages, and on and on.
Good. Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you something, Travis, here, because we do things weird. I'm going to ask you to name me all, what did you say, 52 films? Do you have 52? I mean, do you have it written down? This is a film? Okay, number one's down, number two's down, number three's down, number four down. Or is it still in the writing concept of all the films?
No, I've written all of them. I picked the story. I probably read like 250 to 300 short stories, picked 52 out of that. Adapted all of them, finished all the screenplays probably about 2-3 months ago, and now with my casting director, Michael Hanlon, I am casting and crewing and location scouting.
Well, let me know if you need some help with casting, because please, we'll broadcast the casting whenever you need it. But okay, give me a list of all 52 films. I want to hear the title, and go.
Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can tell you as many authors as possible. Like I said, Twain, Poe, Joyce,
yeah.
Joseph Conrad, Kate Chopin, Willa Cather. Yeah. There's tons, man. Washington Irving, who wrote The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. There's a lot of good stuff in there.
There's a couple of authors I like, too. One is Willie Willett, and there's another one of my good friend. You know, you hate to say your good friend, and then you forget it, Mickey Rollins. They wrote some good books, too. I'm joking with you. They're indie authors. I will give you the information so maybe you can make a film on them later, too.
Cool.
Okay, sir. So tell me, the time is clicking here. We're not fooling around. You only have how many more days?
13 days. Less than 2 weeks.
And they don't close on holidays, everybody, so they'll take the donation during Thanksgiving, and you know what I mean? So
that's right.
Where do they go?
All we need is a little bit from every person. You know, Kickstarter,
right.
If you go to Kickstarter and you just look up 52 short films, you will find us. And my company is called Running Wild Films, so runningwildfilms.com. But, yeah, Kickstarter, 52 short films, search that, watch our videos. We've got 3 videos on there, a lot of fun, and we've got some great rewards. And like I said, $10,000 is not a lot to make 52 short films, and we're going to do it no matter what. So if you want to be a part of it, join in.
And let me tell you guys something, if you're an actor or whatever, and I want to talk to Travis about this. This is a good way. This guy is doing movies. And he's going to continue doing movies. And a lot of great directors and producers come out of indies. So if you donate, whether it's $1, $2, mention that you're an actor. Put the name in his head. He's going to be casting. I'm telling you how to kiss ass.
Nice.
You know, he needs this to get his films together. I would watch it. I would get the whole 52 things. The film is almost guaranteed to be good, because if you listen to the authors, if you listen to the writers, that he is making these films, Poe, and I don't read much, but Poe, you will understand how good this would be, you could be. And so, Travis, I'm going to open the doors to you. I'm going to ask you one question, because we have a lot of actors who are listening to this. And we have a lot of actors. I go on Facebook, and I see this. And I see them saying, I won't work for anything for free. I'm not going to do this. Travis, tell the people how important it is that you're casting on a limited budget. You're doing a Kickstarter campaign. You're going to be casting. And some actress sits up there and says, you know what? How much does it pay? Tell them why they should be doing this, Travis.
You know what? I would tell every actor that they should base their decision on doing a film or not doing a film on the role. Is it a good role? Is it going to challenge you? Do you have passion and hunger for this role? Then you ask, does it pay or not? You know, and if you like the role enough and it's worth doing for free, then do it. That's the reason you should pick a project. So some of the best actors in Arizona, in my opinion, have continued to work with me free every time, and it's because they see something, you know. I don't know what they see in the work, but they keep coming back, and I appreciate that. So if it's worth it, if it's worth your time to take on a role from a good script, don't worry about the money, you know. That role that you didn't get paid for may end up being the one that makes your career. That's what I would tell every actor.
You're absolutely right. It builds up your IMDb, it builds up your resume, and it gets you a chance to get a bigger role than you normally would get competing with a union contract film. Indies give you a chance to really perform depending on the director. Again, everybody, he's only asking a dollar. He's only asking it up, but this dollar, make it known when you give Travis your dollar, you make it known who you are, because I guarantee you, he will remember you, and you have just made a network contact for a long, long time.
Absolutely,
Travis. I'm gonna each week until this campaign ends, please call in. We had a gentleman.
Okay.
We had a gentleman. I can't remember his name. Kelly will tell me. He was doing a Kickstarter campaign. He called in. Diane, would you like to open up your mic? Do you remember the gentleman? Was it Jeremy?
Jeremy, yes.
Jeremy. He was doing a Kickstarter campaign. He was trying to raise $10,000. He came in to us. He had, what, maybe 3 days to go, I think it was. He was ready to go. Travis, he was ready to go. He only had 3 days to go. $10,000 he wanted to raise. He was $500 short.
Oh,
Sandy.
Wow.
Sandy hit New Jersey and New York. I think he was in New Jersey. He couldn't get on the internet. He couldn't campaign. But what he did was, and he had 3 days to go. So he managed to call us. He said, Brian. I said, Jeremy. He said, Brian. I said, what? And he says, 3 days to go. $10,000. We're only 500 short. Can you help us? I hung up on him. No. But I said, yes, Jeremy. So we send out the message, and we got Kelly on it, and the staff on it, and Diane, and Blitz. The bottom line, Travis, we came in day before. We came in and got him over the $10,000 mark.
Awesome. That's great. I'm glad you guys support those kind of things.
We do. Indies, we support. But not so much us. It's the great people on Facebook and Twitter and indie people. They do come together. They do know a good project, and they do want a good cause. And I think they'll come together and try to help you, too. I'm hoping they will, because they know that we got some – they love your project. I love it, and I haven't seen a lick of film. It's a great idea.
Exactly. So, and I've got – go on our website. I've got more than 30 short films and 2 feature films to prove that we can do it. We've done that in 2 years, so we're just up in the ante this time.
We can do it, Travis. And when we do it, you have to remember us, and you have to come on our show.
Yeah, I'll call in next week for sure. Check back in, let you know how I'm doing.
Thank you, sir. And once again, how can they contribute to your project?
Kickstarter, search 52 short films, or go to runningwildfilms.com. A dollar, not much, less than a gallon of gas, and you're a part of the project forever. So,
fantastic project. Fantastic. Let's get them over the edge. Let's make me a hero at least. Make me look good. Travis, thank you, sir, for coming on. I expect you on next week. Let's hear the update. Let's get you over that mark, buddy.
Sounds good, man. Thank you.
Say hello to your beautiful girlfriend. Please don't get mad at him. He knows not what he says.
Well, she's not my girlfriend, too. Let's be clear. What does the Big Lebowski say? She's not my woman, man. She's just my lady friend. Something like that. I'm just trying to help her conceive. No.
Oh, my God.
We're just hanging out. I'm a little on the fence because of the Twilight thing. You're kind of making me doubt how things are going. So.
Hey, Twilight was nothing compared to what you just said. You're under the gun. Don't blame me.
I'm in trouble.
You're in big trouble. Let's get his campaign going before while he's still alive. Again, everybody, that's Travis. Let's help him out. Thank you, sir, for coming on.
Have a good one.
You too. Take care, my friend.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Travis. And again, help his campaign and do something great for the Indies. I really believe it. And I really believe this is going to go once he receives the money. That was Travis Mills. I think he has a Facebook page. You can also go on his Facebook page. Support him, please. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a couple of breaks. I want to say hello to Xavier. Xavier, how are you, sir?
Oh, well, I've been sitting here listening patiently and, you know, definitely with bated breath, and it's been quite an interesting show, to say the least.
Oh, I know. When people say interesting to me, it's like, oh, it's death. It's a death.
Yeah. Broadcast buzzword, huh?
Looking at his voice, the reason I save him for last is because his voice is unbelievable. It's gold.
Yes, indeed.
It makes other voices not so important.
Tremble in fear.
Sure it does. Well, Xavier, we're going to go right to you right now, but I want to ask you something. You've been listening. What do you think about this Elmo thing? Should Elmo stay? Should Elmo go?
I mean, you know, I think about that. I'm like, wow, you know, the guy's, you know, I mean, he's got to watch, you know, this is a family show.
not many my family don't even like this show, so no.
Do I have sort of free reign, Howard Stern?
You've got free reign. I mean, look what Elmo did. How bad can you be?
I know, right? I mean, talk about giving somebody a hand.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, I mean, really. I mean, what could be worse? I mean, that's like the Santa Claus nightmare to the third power. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, hi, I want to sleep with young boys. I'll pick a job where I get them to sit on my lap all day long.
Oh, my God.
I'm crying out loud. I mean, it really, don't get me wrong. I mean, let's face it. We have to ask ourselves from a moral standpoint. Is it all of a sudden more disgusting because it's, you know, it's young boys that he's molesting? I mean, you know, didn't he, like, Hugh Hefner, like, marry, like, a toddler or something? Like, I hear he likes them, yeah.
You're getting so much in trouble. What are you doing?
Hugh Hefner, didn't he?
Didn't Hugh Hefner marry a toddler?
He's 85 and he just married some 19-year-old or something.
I mean, angry bunnies calling my show.
Quarter of a century, you know, age difference and stuff. I mean, it's just that in this time period in history, you just can't. Sorry, you got to cut it off at 18.
Yeah,
that's,
I know.
All.
That's what my girlfriend tells me, and I said I need the extra inches. I need the extra inches.
In other words, they've got him. They've got the kid saying that he did it. Do they have, like, I don't know, verifiable evidence? Like, I don't know.
Well,
like
here it is. Here it is. I'm only getting headlines here. This guy claims they had a sexual relationship when he was 16. Now, again, these accusations, I'm doing headlines here. I don't want Gail Murphy to call me. I'm going to kick my ass because she will. She's not afraid to use a phone and kick my butt. But here's what happened. He was 16. I mean, he's 18 now. When he made these accusations, he's 18. And he said that him and the guy who, Kevin, who owns the Muppet, Elmo, had a relation, sexual relations at 16 when he was 16. Then he recanted it. Then he recanted that, saying he was coerced and saying he had to recant it. And then...
Oh, so now he's going back and forth. Like, he did it, he didn't do it, he didn't...
Exactly.
Yeah, that reminds me of that rapper singer guy was Raz B. And one minute he's like, my manager Chris Stokes molested me, but then he didn't, and now he's molesting me again. And then he goes on YouTube and does all these nutty videos, and it's just a mess. I mean, you know, this is like one of those Hollywood stories. You know,
it's blackmail.
It's these ugly Hollywood, you know. Again, I don't care about anybody's sexuality. I mean, you know, gay, straight, bi, whatever.
Oh, no, I'm not even thinking that. I'm just saying
it all
seems
in
like
Hollywood.
I hate when these guys come out 25 years later and say, oh, by the way, I was molested. I have my own thing, and I'll do a show next week on that. We have a psychologist coming on, and I have a lot of questions. But I'm not going to go into that. But let's just say this. Let's say everything is true. He did have a sexual relationship with this boy, 16. He's now 18.
Ooh.
Man, let's say it's true.
Right.
Do you think the institution of Elmo should disappear because of this?
What are you talking about, the institution? Come on.
Elmo is an institution. Elmo is an institution.
Elmo is a cartoon character.
No, he means more than
by a guy who was trained.
All right, now you're over the line, my friend. No.
What, is he real? What's wrong with you?
No. He's a lovable red guy with a yellow nose. I love him. But he's an institution to the children.
But that's different from the actions of a crew member. Come on, you're
right.
In show business. Look at
right.
this rationally.
Right.
When you work on a set for a commercial for Burger King,
mm-hmm.
and maybe you go upside the director's head,
mm-hmm.
you know, people aren't going to look at you and go, wow, he's insulted the institution of Burger King. They're going to say, get that crazy guy out of here, and can I do his part? You know, I mean, that's show business. You know,
but I understand,
Hollywood is full of perverts. He's just one that got caught.
I understand that, but let me tell you about my childhood memory. I love the Flintstones, and when the other voice of Fred came in, I stopped watching it.
But your childhood memories are different from the reality of show business.
But
this guy only needs right now is a good lawyer. Unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
Johnny Cochran's not around anymore.
Oh, here you go.
You know, he can't take his hand and say, if the hand doesn't fit, you must acquit.
We're going to put it up the puppet's ass and say, hey, my hand doesn't fit up.
Trying to fit.
What are you saying?
That was pretty funny if I didn't say so myself. But
I never fit up the puppet's ass, so I could not possibly have done it.
Must acquit if it doesn't fit.
Okay.
These things happen. Unfortunately, I hate to say these crazy stories, they happen almost every day in Hollywood. They're covered up, swept under the rug. Pay them off a little bit of money. Reminds me of the Eddie Long thing, you know, money. It's like, oh, I was hurt and I was molested and all of that. And all of a sudden, $250,000. It's like, you know, I don't hurt so bad anymore. You know, settle it out of court, wrap it up, and then he'll be back on TV in a week. You know, that's
well,
the bottom line.
There's more to it, and I don't want to go into it because we're going into the licensing now. We're going into copyright issues, and we're going to this. It's a different kind of thing because he is a brand, and I think Kevin owns the brand, so we can go into that. But I don't want to go into that so much as more you. Tell me
right.
what's going on with you, sir.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, though, I mean, again, I'm guessing on a show you did have that discussion, and in a way, we all deal with these issues, you know, how to deal with the public light, the scrutiny of the public. And interestingly enough, voiceover, you know, maybe it allows me a little bit more latitude. I mean, you know, I'm only a celebrity when I'm talking. If I keep my mouth shut, you know, I end up being a regular guy. You know,
mm-hmm.
people don't really know, oh, you're that guy on that commercial, or your voice has been associated with all these different products throughout the years and stuff. I mean, I pretty much have kept my nose clean throughout, you know, my career. And I mean, as an actor, I've appeared on different TV shows, and I know what it's like to walk down the street and be recognized. I think what happens when you get older is that your privacy and quality of life becomes more important to you. So I think a lot of actors that may have been doing television and theater and things, and they kind of want to take a little break from the public eye, voiceover becomes a really great way to stay in the business yet be left alone.
And remind everybody some of the projects you have done you have used your voice for.
Well, you've heard me on pretty much everything. I'm a very prolific voiceover talent. I've worked for all the major networks doing promos, HBO, CNN, Nickelodeon, the Weather Channel. Right now I'm doing promo voices for the NBA periodically. I'm the voice of Sean T's Hip Hop Abs. The voice of various infomercials and stuff. I'm pretty much all around the place. And
yeah, and let's give a little sample here of your latest project. Let's
oh, great, thank you.
Lab workouts and not seeing results? Are you finally ready for the sleek, sexy body you've always wanted? Tired of struggling with difficult lab workouts and not seeing results? Are you finally ready for the sleek, sexy body you've always wanted? Introducing the Ab Assist Plus, the first affordable fitness system that gives you awesome abs and a toned, sexy body in minutes a day, right in the comfort of your own home.
Hi, I'm Jill Brown, certified fitness professional for 20 years, and I created the Ab Assist Plus to make the most difficult ab exercises, even Pilates, fun, safe, and easy for my clients to get the results they want.
My body's totally changing. My jeans fit great. My stomach's tighter. My butt got smaller. I love my Ab Assist. I could get lower abdominal muscles that I typically have a really hard time getting.
The secret is variable leverage technology. The Ab Assist Plus works by using your arms to assist your abs as you lift and lower the weight of your legs. The intensity is up to you. The more you press with your arms, the easier it is to lift your legs, allowing you to do advanced ab exercises and Pilates in perfect form. Imagine being able to sustain the burn longer than ever before as you target your upper abs, obliques, even the hard-to-reach lower abs without straining your back.
Without the Ab Assist, my back is in agony. But with the Ab Assist, it works so well, and I have no more pain.
And when you're done working your abs, simply hang your Ab Assist Plus over a door or any stable object for a total body workout that uses your own body weight for resistance. It's one of the hottest trends in fitness. Why spend thousands of dollars on bulky exercise equipment or gym memberships?
One of those irritating infomercial voices you just can't wait to turn the damn TV set off. But as you can, hopefully you heard that I tried to make him real and energetic and not like so over the top that we hear from those infomercials, you know.
But you guys have to go to the YouTube thing for Ab Assist, and you see the big busty woman exercising along with Mr. Xavier's voice. Hey, I have a tagline for it. How about this?
Okay.
Ab Assist helps your breast assist.
Helps the breast assist. That's the reason why we didn't have you on the copyright.
I know. Okay, fine. I'm always trying to get a gig.
Pass it off. You know it, and I think it's a good product. Actually, I feel great about that product. And Jill, so cool, great. But she actually gave me some amazing workout tips. I mean, the woman is, you got the Olivia Newton-John gene. I mean, she really gets it. And as actors, let's face it, we're selling our bodies. We got to keep it tight. And I say if it's Ab Assist or Ab Ball or Ab something, we got to do
ball.
Something because you know what I mean. It's our career depends on.
Yeah, that's
great.
True. And you do have a good voiceover guy, seriously, because your voice is interesting. It keeps us tuned in, you know.
I'm glad to hear that.
I would not have noticed you had big breasts and a tight ass if it wasn't for you telling me that.
Exactly. That's why
Thanks,
I'm here,
sir.
You know. Exactly. I go into the studio and just, you know, make this happen for you because your fat ass needs to bend over and just...
You should do one of those voiceovers.
Drop the muffin pig.
Get yourself in
there. Drop it. 100. I always say, you know, there's no excuse for not working out. You know, wherever you go, there's always a floor, buddy. Give me 100. Push-ups. Let's go.
I love it. Now, while we have you on here, Melissa's been holding patiently. Thank you so much, Melissa. Do you have a question for Mr. Voice? This guy's the king of voiceovers.
Not really, but he's got an awesome voice. I would
Doesn't
hire
he?
Him. Definitely.
Thank
yeah.
you, Melissa.
It's like hot, buttery... Brown sugar.
Wow.
Going for it, honey.
Look at
hey,
you, Melissa.
For that, you get a free gift.
Also, I think he'd be really funny if he did do, like, you know, like, you're a fatty kind of voiceover as motivational. Like, get off the couch, you fat pig. Put the thing down. Put it down.
Why
do you see your ass?
I think you're right. You should do one of those blooper voiceovers just for your own thing. I agree with Melissa.
Well, I got to share with you. There's been some interesting things that have been happening since I last came on. I want to share with you. I've actually now become a casting director, which I've actually been casting my actor colleagues and different things like cartoon series and commercials and radio. And I'm working right now with one of the largest and oldest companies you may be familiar with here in New York, Complete Casting. And I wanted to put that out there that, you know, I love the organization. They've been around for like 40 years. And, you know, they do everything from casting to payroll. So I did want to put a little plug for them and me newly being on the team for any producers that are looking for casting and payroll services to please contact me. I really want to start the year off with a bang and support this organization that I have known since I grew up in the business, and I've known of them since I've been in the business, and I'm excited to be associated with them. So I wanted to put that out to all your listeners.
Wow, that's great. Now, how do they get a hold of you and contact you to learn more about this?
Well, we're working on my own dedicated email at Complete Casting. In the meantime, you can email me, at my email. That's info at radio actually, no correction. I don't even know my own email. It's radiospotvoice@gmail.com. That's radiospotvoice@gmail.com.
Okay, now let's go over it again. So you're casting, huh? So you got involved with this project. Wow, look at you. So is there a project right now that they're looking for people or coming up? Is there a coming project or?
Yeah, there are always so many things. Right now I'm in the middle of casting this huge cartoon series. There are several hundred voices to cast. You see, my voiceover experience has now created the right opportunity for me to really take my expertise as a voice casting director and this huge company and the huge projects that are coming up now, because, you know, we got all these media platforms. We got the internet and new media and video game, and as the woman was saying beforehand, your guest, about all the new programming platforms. So there's a lot happening, and it's the reason why I also started my school, my voiceover training school, because I gravitate toward casting people that I've trained, because I know they're going to come into studio and do a fantastic job.
Now, I have someone. His name is Richard Sergiovanni. He has a cartoon. I don't like to even call it a cartoon. This is so well drawn. It's like an animation. This could be the next Simpsons. Now, I know he has the cartoons. I don't know if he's looking for voices yet, but just in case he does, I could contact you, and maybe they could, you guys can work together.
100%.
Will that cost me anything, Mr. Xavier?
Well, it shouldn't cost you anything. I mean, if anything, you should be paid for doing the referral. I mean, yeah, really.
Oh, I like that. I like it.
Yeah, you see, one hand washes the other in X-Men's business.
I do it
the real way. I keep my hands in my pockets.
Okay.
And hold on to my money.
That's the motto.
Yeah, no, that's right. You know, maybe he could take a class from me. But he's actually interesting you mentioned him, because Clash is also very, I mean, you know, his current controversy aside, is a pretty accomplished voiceover artist as well.
Oh, isn't he?
You know, if you look at his resume, my gosh, major features, just scores of them. I mean, the guy, you know what I mean? He's just not some guy with his hand up a puppet. I mean, he's really, like you said, he is an institution, and I hope he fares well through that situation. But getting back to this situation, the complete casting, see, what I really love about these guys and this company is, A, they are bona fide, you know, have a fantastic reputation that spans 40 years in the business, okay? Totally established and credible. And then also in these times of performers wanting to go non-union more than ever before, and agents encouraging them to go FICOR so that producers can get them for bottom dollar, it's really a bad situation. What Complete Casting offers is the opportunity to, I would dare say, sort of purify it through signatory status, and allowing what was a non-union job to become essentially a union job, so that all the proper health benefits and pension and all these things, all the things that if you're thinking of longevity in the business, are going to be important to you. I think a lot of actors are drawn toward FICOR and non-union because they want to get in the business, they want a quick break, they want some quick money to pay their rent, yet show business is really a business venture. It's not a job in the traditional sense, so it's important to get behind the union and support it, its longevity, so that it can support your financial longevity.
Right. I agree. I agree with that. I'd like to work with you off the air, and you and I need to talk, because there are so many voiceover artists, and I was just talking to you about Richard Sergiovanni, and also Melissa has a project going on, and you heard about her. You just made a comment on her, about her apps and her platform to get the voices out there. There's so many of you guys out there. But
I actually think it would be beneficial if, you know, you and I talked off air, because if you have a lot of these independent projects, the thing is distribution and getting paid for your content. And I think what I do is just that remedy, is taking that great content, those independent media makers, and getting them the exposure they need to their own channel.
What a voice you would have in your pocket, Melissa, with Xavier here. What a voice. Can you imagine that?
I love hearing that voice.
Wow.
All right.
And both
of
you guys,
hey, you're a great
pitch
man.
Yeah, well, both of you guys should think about sponsoring my show, you know what I'm saying?
Well, indeed. I tell you, it's tough. It's so, I mean, they've courted me. Basically, I've become the the bitch of the major network, to be quite honest.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, just to keep it real. I mean, it's just like I've been on the host role for major TV networks for quite a while, and you know, they do keep me in the, you know, the best panties a slut can buy. You know,
what?
Because if the financial...
I'm trying to market you. Did you just say
best
panties a slut can buy? Did you just say that? I mean, that would never come in my head. You had to say that.
You need creative writers on your show.
Oh, my God.
No, you know what it is? It really, all jokes aside, hopefully we can certainly work out a business situation. And, you know, as actors, we always deal with this, the cost of living and being able to negotiate contracts to get to create the win-win situations for producers and actors. You know, they just sent me a script the other day. They said, you know, you got a great voice. Here's the script. Have it back by 4:00. But you know what? We don't have any money, but you sound great. And by the way, we need this now. You know, it's like, okay, I'll call Wonder Woman, and, you know, she can spin for you.
But, you know, actually, that's kind of good for you, because you just if you think the project is good, just ask for the back-end deal or percentage.
And that's another interesting negotiatory option.
Yeah.
And if back-end is real and has shown itself to be real with that particular outfit, then
you make it sound
fantastic.
So dirty. You make that sound
dirty.
If the back-end is real, then it shows itself.
I try to bring the reality of show business to your show. A lot of actors, they're in a place in their career. Like, put it this way, when I started acting, I never thought I'd have to deal with the problem of the agents that I work with retiring or getting fired or moving out of the office that I'm signed with. It's like, so an actor's career really does have these peaks and valleys that are beyond our control. I never thought I would have this problem. A lot of actors think, oh, as soon as I get an agent that really likes me and I'm signed with them, problem solved. I'm at a whole new level in my career and I never have to look back.
Right.
And then lo and behold, they find that they do.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it's really a humbling experience to stay with this career long term. And I try to share the experiences that I've had so that people can get a perspective.
Sure.
And start making the right choices early before they've been humbled, you see, because it's very pie in the sky for a lot of people. I just case in point, I just came from the Dated Actor Fest here in New York this past weekend. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with Actor Fest. But
really. I kind of heard it through the whispers, but I'm not really familiar with it.
Yeah. Well, in a nutshell, it's a huge actor convention, a lot of seminars and things like that. And, you know, people are ill-informed. You know, they see the reality shows. They see the money. They, you know, it's just like, oh, I can make a ton of money. I can do all this voiceover. And they get blinded to the day-to-day realities.
Right. It's a hard life. You would have to be crazy to even want to be an actor. You have to be crazy to do this. And then, like I was saying to Gail, it's like once you achieve the fame is not friendly. Fame is mean. Fame will kill you. Fame will
beat
you.
Well, fame is a four-letter word, you know. Fame is a four-letter word, and I mean, so is the word cash. You know what I mean? I realized recently that my passion for this business really came out of my passion for sales and marketing. My first job was as a telemarketer. I was 15 years old, and I like outsold everybody in my department. And the boss was jealous. He was like, he'd call the leads back and say, you know, you just bought this from a 15-year-old kid. You still want it? You know, he hated me because I was, you know, he was evil.
Wow.
You know,
and it was a subscription to Playboy.
Exactly. Which is like, you know, why wouldn't the guy want it? You know, I would hope the thing sold itself.
My
dulcet tones, I was able to get a couple of more years of subscriptions out of them. But and so I would say you would have to be an amazing salesperson to really create an acting career that works. And that's kind of what I've been. I really don't hear the first 5,000 no's. I've had casting directors slam doors in my face. I've had agents tell me I'm never going to make it. And as far as I'm concerned, they were just, you know, singing my praises.
You want to hear something, a little funny story? I don't really have any funny stories, but it's always funny to me. I was a young guy. And going with what you said, I was a young guy. And I hope she's not listening because she just – I'm laughing about it because she just friended me on Facebook 3 days ago. and I don't think she remembers me. I was a young guy, 17 years old. They were already saying, hey, go to Bobby Ball, go to Bobby Ball. She's a big cat. She was a big talent agent in Beverly Hills. Go to Bobby Ball. She's the best. I go in to Bobby Ball, and I said, you know, hi, my name is so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. I'd like to be an actor. She looked at me and goes, you don't look like an actor. I go, well, no, I'm just starting. Here's my headshot. Your headshot looks like shit.
Deep voice for a woman.
Oh, her voice was deeper. I'm just trying to give her more.
Okay.
I'm just trying to give her more of a female attitude.
Wow.
Bottom line, she almost made me poop my pants and give up acting. So what I did was I went home, changed my underwear, went to some other agency, and they asked me for $15,000 to join them, or some modeling agency.
Wow.
And
wow.
it left a bad taste in my mouth. But the funny thing was, it's like this lady had such a traumatic effect on me in my acting career. And then all of a sudden I look up and she says, hey, I'd like to be your friend. She has no idea who I am. And by the way, Bobby Ball's a nice person. She has good work. Don't sue me. Just that little incident.
Hey, you think they're going to be recasting for Elmo? I wouldn't mind.
You know what? I'm going to tell you. I think there's going to be a big litigation here. I think, and this is just me. This is just me. I'm not a lawyer. But I think that Kevin is a very smart man. I think he has licensed it. I think Jim Henson loves Kevin. I think people are going to be waiting to see what happens. I think he pulled the gun too soon. He should not resign, but I guess he knows what really happened, and he's afraid. I think he's being blackmailed, but this is just my opinion.
Oh, he did resign. Oh, I didn't know that.
He's saying there's too much of a distraction going on. I think there's things that need to be worked out. I think he would, for the good of it, like I said, I think it is an institution. I think if worse comes to worse, if he does step away, I think he will allow someone else to take on Elmo. I could not see Elmo not being around for the other little children for the future.
I'm going to play the race card with this because I'm a real prick when it comes to this.
Oh, here you go.
Why not? I've always been a prick. Why
That's
not?
All we got.
Should continue. Pee Wee Herman, Paul Rubens can masturbate in an adult theater. Okay. And he lays low for a couple of years, but he's made a complete comeback. Broadway shows and everything.
Not to children. That's the thing, not to kids.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. Now, if Pee Wee Herman was masturbating in front of children, I don't think he'll be able to come back. It's the children thing. Right on the cusp of the Sandusky and the Penn State thing.
Well, then that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the sensitivity of the public, versus what we're prepared to tolerate under quote-unquote normal circumstances, whatever the heck that is. You know, I mean, and understandably, right, not the children, yet it's the whole issue of the image and whether or not the image is tainted based on the actions of an individual outside of the workspace. So, you know what I mean? It's not like he did this. He dealt with this kid or whatever this person's saying. I don't think he did that on work time. I think that was maybe his own time, whatever it is.
I agree. And Kelly monitors the show and everything. She goes, she just typed the big letters. Here we go with masturbation again. We mentioned masturbation
sorry, Kelly.
Three times
sorry,
in 3 days.
I didn't mean to.
No, but I you know what? Here's the thing. 16 years old. Now, in my opinion, 16 years old, if he did it, you almost want to give it a pass. And listen to when I say get a pass, because all hell's going to rain on me, is because the kids who actually listen to Elmo are not going to know anything about what's going on behind the scenes. You know, we're not going to go behind the scenes, and I don't think parents are going to go, I don't want you to listen to the message of that little Muppet because he's been molested, he's been abused. If anything, use Elmo. He's been abused, and look at him. He's still living on Sesame Street. I don't know. But it's the 16-year-old thing. It's the child molestation that you can't ignore, and you can't...
And I hear what you're saying, and in my spare time, I also do counseling in areas included and not limited to child abuse and addiction and things. So I'm very versed on the topic, and I just find it's like we've shown historically as a country And of course, and believe, between you and me, I care very much about the safety of children. I'm just talking about how accountable we've been as a country to that. And we've shown our performance to be pretty poor overall. And then all of a sudden we take on this whole new morality when it's a celebrity and when there's money involved. And you know what I mean? And when there's this image and brands to protect and blah, 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 and all this. So I'm wondering, I'm just trying to figure out what conversation we're really having here. You know, I mean, if it was just some guy down the street, would we give a MF, you know?
You know, you bring up an interesting, sick point. And that's going back, and what came into my head, that's going back to, and really think about it, and I'm not going to stay on it so long, but think about it. You know all these women who are teachers who are found molesting these children? Did you know that's one thing they had in common? They were hot.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering, almost like what you're saying, is because they're hot and attractive, did they make the papers, knowing that ugly women are molesting, ugly teachers are molesting them too, but we're not going to see the ugly ones. But because they're so hot, did that make it, are we that shallow to put them in the forefront to say, oh my God, this is what's happening in school? What do you think
media
of that?
Media likes a hot story. Media likes a story that looks good. It's salacious, just in the revelation of it. It has, regardless of the welfare of the actual participants, those who are involved, just looking at the story, it's just a sort of train wreck, morbid fascination that we have over the friggin' misfortune of others. We had Hurricane Sandy here a few weeks ago, as you know, here in New York, and, you know, it's just like people love to watch tragedy from afar. It's just a sick aspect about our country. We like that.
Exactly. And that reminds me of my ex-girlfriend. She did the same thing. She made me take off my clothes, and she says, I like to watch tragedy from afar, and she did herself.
Okay.
It didn't really work out. But she did invite me to a threesome, and I watched her, and I said thank you, and we left.
Well, at least you said thank you, you know.
I did. I was appreciative that I got to see her naked.
You know, there you
I'm
go.
I'm such a happy man. But you know, I'm going to bring Melissa in on this. Melissa, are you still here?
Yep, I'm still here.
Thank you for holding in and
I'm
not going with
this.
My life as a tragedy. But I want you to meet Xavier, this is Melissa. Melissa's a filmmaker, and she also, and you heard her earlier regarding her.
Yes.
Her thing.
Melissa, I think what you're doing, thank you, is so wonderful. And absolutely, I look forward to going to your side and us communicating. Okay, when I heard the prices, I'll be honest, I thought, whoa, okay, second mortgage. But then I said to myself, you know, I've been looking for my own direct access to my demographic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because, sure, I love putting my voice behind great products like Abassist Plus, and okay, at the same time, I like to think of myself as sort of Martha Stewart of sorts, where I have the ability to get behind and a variety of different products.
Mm-hmm. Well, this platform actually would be good for you because you could not only get those sponsors and you know, present those products and get partnerships with them. I mean, there is already several home shopping channels on this platform. So, you know, being able to do that for direct sales, that direct model of presenting, you know, co-branded, co-sponsored content is happening already. And the lifestyle category is not very big right now. It's actually one of the few categories that needs content. So, there you go.
Mm-hmm. One of the areas I'm very interested in is public speaking, going around the country and doing my motivational a la Anthony Robbins style workshop. And my prices are much better than Tony Robbins, and I think my energy at times can be as well. And as I understand it, I could create my own show. It sort of would have a telethon aspect to it. In other words, or American Idol aspect, however you want to look at it, where there could be a 1-800 number crawl across the bottom of the screen where people can call in live immediately and book me to come to their town to do a private event and or live event for them.
Mm-hmm. And you can also
do
private events direct through this platform. So if you wanted to do an invite-only tele-workshop, you absolutely could do that too.
Okay, so they pay their admission, they dial in, and then I come up on their screen.
Yep, basically.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, because I'm experimenting with Skype right now. However, I think Skype has an 8-person limit, whereas this has no limit to the number of participants.
Absolutely. Correct? Yeah, you could have as many people, and worldwide, too. So, you know, you could have an acting workshop or a branding workshop or, you know, a voiceover workshop offered at a particular time. So, you know, basically access to that at any rate you want, whether it's, you know, the people in the workshop are paying a certain rate. The people online are paying, you know, maybe a slightly lower rate. And, it, you know, and it's on their televisions or it's on their mobile devices or it's on anywhere they want to see it. And then after the event, you know, you can put that into your archive and people can then purchase it on demand later. So you're getting not only active income from the presentation of your workshop live, you're getting passive income off of the recorded and now archived content that people can buy on demand.
Now, is there a built-in marketing machine that I'll be able to benefit from, or is this all going to boil back down to a link that I'm going to have to market the brains out of on social media just to get to drive traffic?
It's a combination of things. Right. Okay. Well, basically, you have a captive audience of these devices. You've got millions of people getting, you know, off of cable almost monthly, getting onto these devices, seeking, you know, content that really speaks to them. So you have people who are looking for content on every kind of platform, Roku, connected TVs, you know, whatever delivery device they have. You have the ability to connect to broadcast networks, ad networks like Yumi and a few others through this platform to market through them if you want to sell ads that are, you know, you're basically selling ads on your own content on your own network. You have the ability to put links to this anywhere you want. And it's a partnership. It's whoever is part of this initial co-op, or if they have their own channel, that's a whole separate thing. But whoever's part of this initial startup co-op, we're all going to be marketing to make this successful. So you're going to have a group push. You're going to have all of the borrowed value of each, you know, partner, my network, and everybody who's involved in this project bringing their audiences and borrowing off that value. And then as a group, marketing this.
On that note, what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break for our sponsors. We still have some time. We're going to come back with the interesting talkings of Melissa and Xavier. Hope you guys hang on with me. I just have to break for our commercials and our sponsors, who we truly love, and I will kiss their ass until they stop sponsoring me.
Right.
Keeping it real.
Yeah.
But right now, I love you guys to death. We'll be right back in about 1 minute and 50 seconds.
This is a song about corn nuts, an intensely crunchy snack. It's not about anything else.
Go to your room and lock the door, because when you try it once, you want to try it some more.
Try it
doesn't matter, and that's a fact. It might be small, but it's a big impact.
Oh.
Bust a nut, bust a nut. Grab a bag of corn nuts and bust a nut. They're lightly toasted and hard as hell. Enjoy yourself, we won't tell. Everybody does it, they like it a lot. You can do it in school, just don't get caught. Takes a few minutes if you don't delay. Take your time and your last all day.
Bust a nut, bust a nut. Grab a bag of corn nuts and bust a nut. Lightly toasted and hard as hell.
Enjoy yourself, we won't tell.
Corn nuts, an intensely crunchy corn snack, comes in.
Yeah, you sure can pick them, Brian.
I love my sponsor.
मैं जब पास थी मेरा चाचा ने मुझे लेके गया था फिर एक रूम में रखा
और उनको बोला छोटा भाई भी कमरा रहा है
no, 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 no.
Why are you stopping us filming?
I told you earlier, try to avoid filming.
As a father, it's very difficult to comprehend that there are people who are capable of doing these things. And it wasn't until I actually went there and went to the camel camps and was able to talk to the children that you realised that the amount of sexual abuse and physical abuse that went on was really quite serious.
One of the most chilling documentaries that have come out of filmmaking in a long, long time, Desert Riders, directed by Vic Soren. Naomi Weiss, producer, now on DVD.
I said, but you know what is happening. Just think these children as your own children.
And that's Desert Riders. That's produced by Naomi Weiss. Naomi Weiss is a film director. She does documentaries. Excuse me. She's a humanitarian. Won three awards for Woman Entrepreneur of the Year awards. Desert Rider tells a story about children who are in the Middle East who are kidnapped from their homes at a very young age. They are put into camps and they're trained to race camels in the Middle East. Apparently that is the biggest sport around, and they suffer mental abuse, child abuse, sexual abuse. It's now on DVD. Support Naomi Weiss. You can look at her DVD at the Anarchy Store, actorsbreakdown.com/shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. She's a proud sponsor of Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. We have one more sponsor called The Grips, and again, I cannot say enough for them. Their song is catchy. I downloaded it to my iPad, and you tell me, and here they are, ladies and gentlemen, The Grips.
Everybody sing. Winston, Mac, Emerson, Mooney, clap your hands. Everybody shout.
We're the Grips, we're the band, playing where we can. We're the Grips, we're the band, playing one night stand. Come along and sing our song. We're gonna rock it all night.
Please go to your Facebook, Richard Sergiovanni. He's on there. He's willing to talk to you. We're going to promote this. We need to get this going. I love this guy. He's a proud sponsor of Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. On a Lot production with Melissa Cottle. She's also a proud sponsor of Brian the Hammer Show. She's casting a new film called Adam, A-D-A-M. And guess what? Yours truly has a part in Adam. I am a big voice of Adam. They should have hired Xavier, but they're on a short budget, so they got my voice.
Well, yeah. I mean, I could have sang that Busta Nuts song much better.
So please support Adam with Melissa Cuddle on a Lot production. Go to Keystroke Killers. That's a page on Facebook. You can find more about the production. She is casting now. And support her, please. I think we have one more, and then we'll get right back to the conversation with Melissa and our guest, Xavier. One more commercial, and we'll be right back.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Silent Killer Gas Passer.
Mr. Silent Killer Gas Passer.
Last night, you had the enchilada combo platter. This morning, the three cheese omelet with broccoli. This afternoon, you're a ticking time bomb. Because of you, a simple elevator ride is suddenly a 42-floor plummet into the very bowels of hell.
You take my breath away.
Who did it? Who cares? Sweet mercy, please just someone light a match. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, oh ninja of the nasty. And while you're at it, crack open a window.
Mr. Sad, can I get better?
And don't forget, we also have Ernie LaJoy. Ernie, you know, I know you're trying to get your film off the ground. He has, the last time I talked to him, he has 4 film investors going for it. I'm looking forward very much. Please check out Ernie LaJoy on Facebook, and he'll tell you all about his film, and not to mention the great stories that this guy had when he was undercover, busting up drug cartels and everything. That's Ernie LaJoy. His film is called Prayer. And wait a minute, I got it messed up. No, that's Ernie LaJoy. Just go to Ernie LaJoy and he'll talk to you. Let's see, that's about it. I hope I didn't forget anybody. And our future sponsors, I will announce soon as we talk to them off the air.
Hey, Brian.
Back to our show. Yes, Mr. Xavier.
What can we do to encourage more actors to support the union SAG-AFTRA?
You know, I'm against
really
the union. I hate the union. I think they're monsters.
Oh,
but anyway, your question, sir. You know.
That makes it harder to answer.
I know. I think the union should be more vocal, and maybe how you can support it is that I know the union, SAG, ATRA, now they're together, what they call them, SAG-ATRA, whatever. I think they have certain events that can help actors, and I think by promoting their events, whether they're workshops or classes or whatever, and doing that, maybe, you know, that'll get out there. Now that you're a voiceover person, you're part of SAG because you were with AFTRA, I would imagine, with television and radio. So, yeah.
And I say to people, yeah, they ask, like, oh, wow, you got such a great voiceover career. I've heard your voice on all kinds of things in the past, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. You're amazing. I want to be just like you. And I say, sure. One of the major ingredients is supporting the union, because without it, the career that I have would not exist.
I agree. I agree 100%. I do
the
agree
career
with
I have,
you.
I'll put it this way. I'll even go further. The career I have is not available to anyone without union support and without.
That is true.
You know,
it's one of those back end deals that it's not in the forefront. Like everybody wants to be the actor and everything. Then you go voiceover. It's an afterthought. And. And to bring into the foreground of how important it is, because not only this, Xavier, you know, you should be doing films, and when people score films and trailers, I mean, you should be unbelievably popular with your voice. And I'm going to bring in Melissa because I also want to bring in Melissa with this conversation too. And what do you think, Melissa? Mm-hmm. I mean, not only he does voices for national campaigns for products and sporting events. Can you imagine Xavier's voice over trailers and movies, especially horror films? I would go watch it just listen to this guy.
Just when you thought there was no more room in hell.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. Your voice would be great on that. And also over, you know, chick flicks. Like, the girls got to go.
Oh, here we go with Melissa again. That hot, buttery...
brown sugar voice,
dark chocolate voice.
Actually, I'm working on my Morgan Freeman impression.
Like
yeah.
I'm working
on
my
I can hear your voice
Freeman
over Meg Ryan. Hello, this is Meg Ryan. Wouldn't you like a hot
buttery
chocolate
what it is.
Voice?
Well, what it is, I'm working on my Morgan Freeman impression. Hello, I'm Morgan Freeman. I remember how I was sitting back here, we're driving Miss Daisy. I was drinking some lemonade, Morgan Freeman. That's my name, Morgan Freeman. And did I say my name is Morgan Freeman?
You know, when I hear your voice, you know who you remind me. What was that? What was that commercial? Is it Stick commercial? What was it? Old Spice commercial with the guy high. You know who I'm talking about. You would
remember. Old Spice guy, yeah.
Yeah, the Old Spice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there's one thing I want to hear him say in this Morgan Freeman voice.
What?
And you know what I want you to say, right?
Oh.
You'll be dead in a year, son.
No, it's his famous term, like I could read anything and he would still watch it and buy it. And then he ends it with the term titty sprinkles. So that's what I want to hear you say.
The movie I love taking lines from is Lean On Me. He goes into the boardroom meeting and he goes, "These children." No, he goes, "No one interrupts my meeting."
No one.
I love it. You've been dead near us, son.
You know the line I like to hear you say? How about this?
Crack destroys the brain cells, son. It destroys the brain cells. Go ahead and jump.
No, the line, Snake on a Plane, help me out, Snake on a Plane, star in Snakes on a Plane. Diane, bro, anybody help me out? Come on, Snakes on a Plane.
Samuel Jackson?
I don't remember.
Thank you.
Heck of a...
That line
I is... Motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
This motherfucking snakes off this motherfucking plane. Morgan Freeman here. Morgan Freeman. Get snakes. And planes and Morgan Freeman. The spinoff is Morgan Freeman with planes and snakes. Morgan Freeman with Miss Daisy and snakes.
Flying Miss Daisy?
Flying Miss Daisy.
And do you know who Miss Daisy is?
I always wanted to meet Morgan Freeman.
Close your mouth, you stupid young man.
What's that, bro?
If it can beat, you think you can bite somebody's ear off. And I respect
Miss. You know who Miss Daisy is, Brian.
My.
Who?
Hello, your board director.
Oh.
Right, Miss Daisy.
Well, yeah, Lady Di is Miss Daisy. We have our board director, Diane Mears Dillon, and she is the original Miss Daisy. I guarantee you.
Yeah, and Jeff is my Mr. Pope.
Exactly. Going fast as I can, Miss Daisy. You
know. Fast as I can. And again, let's face it. Here's a guy who, again, huge, huge talent, movie star.
Right.
Come on, Morgan Freeman, non-union? It wouldn't make any sense. It wouldn't happen. It can't be real. It wouldn't be real.
But your Morgan Freeman doing Samuel Jackson is a classic, and I'm sorry we talked over it, but it was pretty funny. It was pretty funny.
I appreciate being able to work with him, and I actually also did work with Sam Jackson. I was one of the kids in Do the Right Thing. Gosh, I can't believe how long I've been on the planet.
Wow.
And that was a pretty amazing film set, you know, Spike Lee and, you know, Sam Jackson and Ruby Dee and Ozzie Davis, you know.
Ozzie Davis is the best. What we're going to do is right now, we're going to get the links and everything because we're getting close to time. First of all, Xavier, give me the links where people can get a hold of you and find out what's going on with your projects and what you're doing.
Yes, I want to thank you again, Brian, for your support and my ability to get the word out for anyone interested in giving their business a voice through voiceover training, social media marketing, or just building a confident voice. You can email me at radiospotvoice@gmail.com. That's radiospotvoice@gmail.com. And when it comes to film casting, payroll and signatory issues, you can email info@complete-casting.com. That's info@complete-casting.com. Be sure to mention in the subject line that Xavier sent you, and we'll get you going for casting your projects, commercials, music videos, films, whatever, and payroll as well. And coolvoiceradio.com is my website, www.coolvoiceradio.com. Thank you, Brian.
Hey, thank you. It's hard to talk after you because you're like, Melissa, what is the description? Smooth, butter, dark chocolate?
Hot buttery brown sugar. Like
and I'm like your own personal Tic Tac.
A little honey on the side.
Chocolate. My last girlfriend was like, I don't know whether to have sex with you or bake you in the oven.
Yeah, I bet you smell like cookies. Mm.
Oh, my God.
You know. Should I have sex with you or give you away as a gift to my other girlfriend?
No kidding. You are very talented, Xavier. very talented man, and it's a great opportunity. Is there any way they can reach you on Facebook too? A lot of these people.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because I need to promote my Facebook page. You want to go to Cool Voice Radio on Facebook, and please like my page, Cool Voice Radio on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks again for reminding me of that. VoiceOver Today on Twitter. VoiceOver Today on Twitter and Cool Voice Radio on Facebook.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much. And I'm going to finish the interview with Melissa. And Melissa wanted to touch a little bit on Israeli. I got breaking news for you, too, right now. Message to you, Melissa. This is coming from Sari. And Sari says she's in the middle of a rally right now in New York City today.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps her from joining us today. She's doing some important work. She's going to call in after she spoke today, but we haven't heard from her yet. So she's busy. She's doing good work. She's keeping people up to date on what's happening in Israel. And I know you wanted to touch on that a little bit, Melissa. And what are your thoughts?
I'm just a little dismayed at the amount of civilians killed on the Palestinian side. I'm totally anti-war. I know a lot of peace activists in Israel and war resistors. I was there in 2005 as a DP on a documentary. And I got to shoot a lot of amazing interviews with people who were actively on both sides working towards peace. So for me, the images coming out, particularly through independent media, not even mainstream media, are really disturbing. It's excessive force. And the justification for it is, it doesn't make sense to me.
Go ahead.
No, it just doesn't make sense to me, the justification to shell from sea, land, and air excessively in civilian areas.
Israel is bombing the Palestinians, or the Palestinians sending rockets to Israel? When you first came on, you said, I'm a little disturbed about the casualty of the innocents being hurt in the Palestinian side?
On the Palestinian side. I'm concerned. I'm concerned for all sides, but the Palestinians are being, they're being hammered. It's not a question of excessive force. It's pretty obvious that that's happening, and it's that kind of thing doesn't foster peace. It only creates more resentment. Children grow up with all kinds of trauma. They have all kinds of statistics coming out of both sides,
Melissa, I agree. We're coming down. We could talk more in archives, because when people give our archives, it's almost like it's real. But while we're still live, please give your links where people can get a hold of you while we're still live.
Oh, sure. You can get to the Indiegogo campaign, indiegogo.com/multomedia, MULTO media. You can reach me on Facebook, facebook.com/multo, and you can reach me on my website, multo.com.
And we will continue this conversation in our archives, but right now I want to thank my special guest coming on today, of course. It's Melissa. Melissa, I want to say your name is Olto, but please give me the correct pronunciation of your name.
Yep, you got it right, Melissa Olto.
I want to thank you, Melissa Olto, for coming on, being such a great guest. I want to thank Xavier, perfect guest. You cracked me up, dude. And I want to thank Travis Mills. Travis Mills has a campaign going on Facebook, too, on Kickstarter. Please join his campaign. He only needs your help. A dollar can help him to get his film made. Travis, you're a gentleman, and I hope you work your relationship out. All right. I want to thank our sponsors. Our sponsors, you were great. On the Lot Production, Melissa Cottle, Come Get It Records, Wayne D, CEO, the Grimps, Richard Sir, Giovanni, Film Blank, Naomi West, The Prayers, Ernie LaJoy, Jonathan Clothiers, and everybody else, and our future sponsors. You can reach up to 3.5 million with our thing. Right now we're hitting 20,000 listeners. There is an avenue. We do get response, so please join us and be a sponsor of Brian and Hammer Jackson Show. Okay, Melissa, continue. We're in archives now, but...
Sure.
Oh, we're not. But we will be. So continue with your thought. They're getting hammered, I understand. But there's going to be a ceasefire, I heard.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good thing. I just wonder how long it'll last.
you know, it's just really important that both sides actively work towards peace, because the people being affected aren't just soldiers. They're children, their families, their old people. You know, this is happening not on a battlefield. This is happening right next to people, like in people's homes. People's homes are being destroyed. So.
Yeah, and it's a small area, too. You feel sorry for both sides, I understand. And you're right, it's you don't want to take sides.
I don't think that the concept of taking sides doesn't work anymore. I think that we as a species, we're supposed to be the most intelligent species on this planet, and yet we can't figure out how to get past war. That's ridiculous to me. I think that choosing to actually, you know, go to war is lazy. It's lazy compassion. It's lazy intellectually. And to use, you know, things like religion as a reason, that's, you know, I don't see anywhere where in any, you know, religious tone where war is a good thing.
I agree with you 100%. Unfortunately, war is part of our life. Unfortunately, there will always be war as long as there are differences. And you can go with the differences as religion or paranoia or whatever you want to go as long as there's words like superpower, words like we have to police the world because we are the superpower, you're going to have differences and you're going to have war. It's just part of it. It's just, you want my oil, you got to do us a favor. We'll do you a favor, then you have to do this a favor, and then you're going to upset somebody.
I actually disagree. I think we're getting to the point where there's enough of the people who are actually affected by war talking to each other.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what, you know, the internet, social media, being able to talk directly to each other has, you know, given us. There are campaigns on Facebook all over the internet calling for this war to end from within Israel and within, you know, Gaza. And there's other campaigns. You know, there's a campaign on Facebook between Iran and Israeli citizens talking about how much they love each other. They're like, we don't have anything against you, but this is our government. And they're actively working in both countries through social media to pressure their governments not to go to war. So, you know, it's a different world where the message before could be completely controlled and be unified under, you know, the country's controlled media and the country's government. That's no longer the case now. You have populations speaking to each other in real time, and that's pretty powerful.
You're absolutely right, but there's no denying war is good for the economy. Anytime there's a war, economy strives. And I hate to say it, but that's the fact, too.
Is that why we had a major recession in 2008?
What's that, Jeffrey?
Is that why we had a major recession in 2008? Because war is good?
Well, war has been proven to help the economy, but and you're right, and war is expensive, too. I mean, giving up billions of dollars to Afghanistan and nothing really come through it, as long with Pakistan, and we're spreading thin, you're absolutely right on that. That's a good argument on that. But it has been said that war is good for the economy. It does help the economy. It does get more jobs out there. It does free up the economy. I'm not saying we're going to war because, well, you know, if you look at our history, a lot of times we go to war look at the history of the election. Every time there's a big election going on, there's some kind of conflict somewhere. And I think sometimes people start a conflict just to help out the election. Can I be wrong here, Melissa and Jeff?
Other than when Clinton took office, there was no wars going on. We had an in and out with George Sr.
That's actually not true. If you look at the list of conflicts, not wars, but conflicts that the United States has been in, we've been in constant conflict since the 50s. I mean, you know, any place that there's a resource, we're there helping people get democracy.
Okay, I understand that point. That's kind of like Grenada, El Salvador, all that. I get it.
Right.
That's a very valid point. I get that.
But that
angriness or whatever it is that we're doing, whatever the hell it is that we're behind, Lord knows it changes every day. As I don't see it building the economy. It's destroyed it since, damn, 2000. That was the beginning of the end.
I agree with you, but this was just in today. Four Americans who promise to do damage, to kill as many Americans as they can. They did a jihad. They promised they did a jihad on America in California. The city is called Upland. I think you're familiar with it, Diane and Jeff. These guys were going to plan on terrorist acts in the United States, especially California, in the name of jihad, and kill as many Americans, going into the blowing up the government in the government. Places here in California. What do you think of that? That was just yesterday, or actually maybe this morning.
And you know what? I totally get that because they're of whatever descent that we are pissing off.
They were Filipino.
One was
a Filipino.
One was an Afghan person.
Exactly. But you know what? It's crossing lines. They're crossing into black people. They're crossing into Asians. It's not like we're looking at people with turbans coming at us with a rock. We just don't know who they are, and they're here. This is the talk you and I had about a week ago, bro. But they're here, and their cells are here, and we have to face it. We have to face it that we do have idiots who want to do this, to join a cause.
But yeah, I get it. You know, your 15 seconds of fame, and that's mostly waving the American flag or getting because of the bullshit sensationalism on TV.
Well, we all had it. Well, Melissa, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, cool. And you can jump in any time. We all had terrorist acts, and again, the name, and they've been here for years. They're our staple of America. We start with the Ku Klux Klan. They are a terrorist organization. The Ku Klux Klan, and we can go on to the skinheads, the Hitler Youth. And we can go on and on, and that's not just white people, but black people too. People were afraid of the Black Panthers reemerging again, and it's a big chapter here. And we can go, and not to mention the San Francisco with the Asian Tong Gang, that is a terrorist organization. That's right, I call you guys terrorists. We have it here.
Wouldn't be Tong, it'd be Mongs.
I'm sorry?
It would be Mongs, not Tongs.
Well, years ago, maybe I'm out of it, they had a group called Tongs, but is it the Mongs now? I could be corrected. I don't know everything, but is it the Mongs?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I've been, when my year and a half that I lived up north, dude, it was crazy in Sactown in the Bay Area.
Yeah. Melissa?
Yeah, no, I'm here.
And so I understand that. Are you okay, bro? Or Diane, did you guys get cut off?
No, I'm fine. I just wanted, it's not the Tongs, it's the Moms.
Okay, I stand corrected. But you could attest that, would you consider them a terrorist organization, Jeff?
Anybody or any group, gang, whatever, that wants to reign by fear, whether it be South Central, up north, anywhere, that would be terrorists, in my opinion.
I agree with you.
If you're going to use terror in any form, and there's militias, I mean, all we have to do is think of Oklahoma. You know, there are plenty of examples of domestic terrorism. There are plenty of examples of domestic groups that are cults and, you know, extremists. It's not just growing in a vacuum. There's a reason that this stuff is happening. And you have to look at the economy. You have to look at, the quality of education people are getting. Like, if you're educated enough, do you think you'd really believe in some of this stuff? You have to look at the kind of message that local politicians are able to, you know, say to support or not exactly criticize groups like these. So this stuff doesn't just happen in a vacuum. There's a reason why there's a growing number of domestic and foreign terrorism that's happening both domestically and internationally. The world is in a worldwide economic slump and potential collapse. and you have militarization happening, you know, all over the place, and you have rights being, you know, trampled. You've got increased NDAA, you've got, you know, indefinite detainment, you have attempts to censor and control the internet. You know, you've people actually quitting from mainstream media news, like the one reporter from CNN, because of the policies that these entities, you know, they basically are arms of, you know, press arms of the government. So, you know, this doesn't just happen because people are hateful. You know, people grow to hate, and why does that happen, and how can we fix the root of the problem instead of, you know, trying to stomp out the symptoms?
Well, the have-nots hate. Have-nots hate the haves. That's why we love to see Kim Kardashian and fall on her face. That's, but you know,
or on her butt, but she's down.
Yeah. But I have a solution. Three solutions will stop all this crime and hate. Three solutions will do it. It's so simple. Number one, if I was president, here's what you do. Any gang member, anybody who's associated as a gang member, they commit a crime, you go to their parents, they lose their house, they lose everything, and hold them accountable. So if you have a gang member, now half the people in South Central LA and everything, like, they have a gang member, they know their sons are gang members, and they're profiting from the gangs. Don't tell me you're not, because you are. If you find out that a gang member killed somebody or committed some kind of crime like that, the parents automatically lose everything, house, home, anything. I don't care if they go on welfare, whatever. There's going to be restitution to the parents because they – I'll go back to the Hitler Youth. These parents should report their kids.
Well, and that's a very valid point, dude. But yet, if you sell marijuana, which is legal in this state and a few others, you can lose every asset that you have. Which
exactly.
I don't understand it. Smoking Mother Nature or being a gangbanger wanting to cause terrorist acts. We'll take the money, the cars, the boats from the drug dealers,
right?
But we won't touch the terrorists. How does that
exactly
work?
And that's what I'm saying. As soon as they create some kind of act, like if a gang member shoots another kid or something, you go to that gang and you find, and they'll give you the person, because if they don't give you a person, you strip them of everything. They have no more rights anymore because they're part of that organization. You committed a terrorist act in your own soil. There is no rights whatsoever. Your ass is going to, what was that prison we have for the terrorists? What is it? Come on. Help me out, Melissa. Come on. We're going to close it down. Guantanamo.
Come on.
Guantanamo. Yeah, that's a big issue for me as, you know, somebody who's interested in social justice and human rights. You know, one of the reasons I voted for Obama originally and was happy that he won in 2008 is he promised to close Gitmo down. And he suggested that would happen. And nothing happened. It's still open. He actually signed a thing to fund it further. So it's just, to me, that's like, we have to really look at what, you know, where these situations are coming from. And what are we doing, you know, policy-wise, you know, economically to help these situations happen, and how can we change that?
The washboarding, all that neat stuff, why do people think or don't get why the world hates us? Because Gitmo is like number one. Oops, sorry, my bad. But yet we're not getting rid of it.
Well, I think there's a lot of political reasons why. What we're going to do with them? Send them back where they have intel and kill some more Americans, which these guys may. I know what you're saying. What do you do? I mean, I have waterboarding, I understand that. Either you kill them or send them back. I mean, to house them and for weight, which is costing us millions and millions and millions of dollars, for what? If you don't have the information by now, what makes you think you're going to have the information in a year? And the information will be wrong in a year, because information, intel changes almost every week. So what, if you caught them last month, they don't know what's going on.
It's every hour.
But not only that, who is in Gitmo and who ends up there? You know, it's like a black bag. You just appear into Gitmo, forget it, you're gone. So that's the scary thing for me, is that it's not just about who's there, but who's going to end up there, especially when you have things like indefinite detainment. You know, the government can scoop anyone up right now, black bag. They can disappear for questioning. You will never hear from them again, ever. Ever. If they say you will disappear.
Oh, just a second. Xavier, are you still here? Xavier? Huh. Okay, I just, if he was here, I was going to bring him in a conversation. I didn't know he was still here. Okay, go ahead, Melissa, to your point.
It's that's a very dangerous thing, not just for the terrorists, but for every citizen of the United States and the world. That, you know, we have laws that have changed that allow Americans to be detained overseas indefinitely, American domestic, you know, citizens to be detained indefinitely in places like Gitmo, where you don't know if you're ever going to come out of. People won't be able to visit you. I mean, that's the thing. It's a very scary proposition that our government has that kind of control and ability, and it completely circumvents the Constitution and Bill of Rights.
Oh, in 100%. 100%.
Well,
you're American abroad, okay, they're supposed to help you out. If you are accused or even thought of domestic, international, whatever, terrorist, they can hold you indefinitely. Hello, excuse me.
I agree, but, you know, what's the other alternative, huh?
Well, the other alternative is to look at crazy situations and try to solve them instead of trying to go to war and trying to, you know, stomp things out. Let's look at why these situations happen. You know,
exactly.
And it's all about the money. Follow the money. The reason that everything is.
How absurd it is. Come on. That's all that Republican dollars rolling in that door.
Well. Well, it's always been that. You can go with the conflict with the Indians and taking their land, and it's that's all about land and money and power. Yeah, that's going to happen, and that's what it's about. But does it make it wrong?
Yeah.
Does it make it?
But how does it make it wrong?
It makes it wrong because if you have extremes of wealth and extremes of poverty, you're going to end up with revolution. It doesn't matter where it is, you're going to happen. In fact, in Gaza right now, the unemployment rate for people under the, you know, around the age of 18 and over is 58%. You know, the unemployment rate is going up and you know, maybe dipping a little because there's holiday hiring in this country. You cannot take and make such a huge profit off of other people's sweat and work and then put them in a position like Walmart does with its own employees to the point where they need to get food stamps. That,
right.
First of all, just from an economic point of view, capitalism, consumerism, that's a really bad model because you're going to run out of consumers at that point. If you're a company and you're taking most of your profits and your shareholders and your board and your executives are taking most of that, that's ridiculous. It's not necessary, and you can actually pay your employees better, and they can have a better lifestyle and be able to purchase your own products.
Are we talking about Hostess now? Are we talking about Hostess with the top people taking their big benefits? Xavier, are you with us again? Oh, I thought I heard Xavier. Are you referring to Hostess, the Hostess company, Melissa?
Absolutely. Well, you can look at Hostess, but you can look at the, you know, the core model for this modern consumerism, which is Henry Ford. You know, he paid his employees a decent wage so they could buy his product. So he could keep making the product, so they could keep making money, so they could eventually buy another version of his product. You don't kill your you know, consumer base. You don't drive them into poverty, and you don't take all of the profit as a cash out, because then you just remove the capital from the economy. And
well,
you remove the ability of capital to move.
I agree with you 100%. Unfortunately, greed can destroy many of good things. And I think, Jeffrey, you agree on that one, too, because it sounds like you're passionate about this one.
Greed and capitalism at its finest. Why do all these asswipes that don't have a clue on the real world are making millions and millions and billions of dollars?
That's because they were born on third base, and they think they hit a home run.
that have no absolute clue on what the guy goes through. What is the daily struggles? Damn, am I going to get milk? Am I going to do this? Am I going to pay my rent? Why, these fuckers are you know, in the Bahamas and doing this. It makes me so ill.
Yeah, unfortunately, you do get rewarded for having a great product, but do we have to, just because somebody's really rich off of making a Twinkie, and he gave himself $10 million as a raise, and his people, his workers could barely make a living, should we blame
him?
Dude,
you just confirmed my point.
Mm-hmm.
This. I mean, seriously, people, any CEO of any GE, Ford, this, you go, and they make outlandish and sick money for doing absolutely nothing because other than the fact they hold a title. Sure, they got themselves there, they were promoted through within, but promoted within people that are making
care? I mean, I could go with Walmart right now. The biggest thing, how the joke is, Walmart people are barely making it like slave, you know, wages, and it's such a big company. But should we care?
Absolutely.
Why not? Everybody
should
be treated.
But why should I care about the guy who's working at the Ford right now? He went to work at 8 o'clock this morning. He's going to come home 6 o'clock. Why should I? I only care that if that Ford car is less than $10,000on the market than the other major car. Should I care?
Because that's what makes the world go round, and you need to treat the makers, the people that do it, whole. At least halfway whole.
Why?
Well, also, but listen to this.
So we can have slaves?
Like,
are you serious, dude?
I'm just asking, why should the average American care what the workers, the condition of the workers are? When he can get his product, if I could go to the store right now, I can go to Ralph's right now, and a bag of oranges are $5.59, and maybe there's, 12 in a bag? I'm not quite sure. I remember 2 years ago, it used to be like $2.75, you get a bag of oranges, or I could go to Camarillo and get a big bushel. But then all of a sudden the worker goes, you know what, you're not paying us enough, and I want to go with the union, and you can't get me out of the country. Now I'm protected. So now my bag of oranges is $7.95 because now the union worker, it joined a union, and they're no longer an immigrant. Now they're part of the union. Therefore, my price go up. Do I care about that guy? I'm pissed off at him. Why do you have to open your mouth? I'm saving $3 here.
Okay, Ann, but you can afford to buy that $7 bag of oranges. And
now,
you can,
but now
you know,
I can't.
Now you can't.
That's
okay.
My point.
Well,
that's my point.
Here's the thing. The inflation of products is in most cases, artificial. You have to look at what the top executives are making. CEO pay increased 120 times faster than worker pay over the last 30 years. If you look at the bulk of any issue with any company, it has to do with major management. And as soon as major management gets into any trouble, they're not making enough on their bottom line, the shareholders want more and more and more, things like a Bain Capital takeover happens, and companies are liquidated, and workers' rights are trampled on, and product quality goes down, and eventually, an entire industry may be affected by the closure or consolidation of a group of same industry brands. The reason why you need to care, reason why you need to care about the workers is that you yourself are affected by this inflation because you yourself are paying more for these supposed products, and they're blaming the workers for this, just like the Papa John's situation and Obamacare. You know, he's blaming the government, and he's blaming the workers, and he's making the workers and the customers supposedly pay for something that literally is only 14 cents more on each, pizza. But you have to understand, if you don't treat people right, people aren't going to buy your product. It doesn't matter how cheap your product is.
I disagree.
All you have to do, you think the people are just going to buy it? Yes.
And I can give you proof that you, and I'm sure you have, and I'll give you proof that you have. When was the last time you bought some tennis shoes or sneakers or shoes? Do anything that you, chances are that.
I actually buy fair trade products. I focus.
Okay, well, you know I'm on.
I know what.
Okay, how about your underwear? Are you wearing any underwear right now?
I'm wearing fair trade underwear, actually.
You're wearing what?
I'm wearing fair trade underwear. There's it's called sustainable fashion or economic. Yeah, there's, you know, you can't.
Somehow
that
doesn't sound sexy to me. I mean, are they sexy?
Oh,
what do they look like? They look like, I mean, to me, I'm thinking they're like a hefty bag. What do they look like? Describe your underwear to us, please.
Hey, now. They're pink. That's all I'm going to say. But
but are they a burlap sap? I mean, I never heard of that. I'm being honest.
Quality.
I have never heard of that material before.
And no, it's high quality cotton that is a fair trade product. The growers are treated well. The harvesters are treated well. The production line is clean.
Now, where did they come from? So what does this material come from again? Because they're called the what?
It's cotton. It's just sustainably.
It's cotton. But who makes them? Is it like the Mormons or the Amish? I mean, but who makes? Because what I'm saying is that the kids in China, we're getting a lot of our products, if you not agree, we're getting a lot of our products from China. And we know what's happening in the camps in China with the slave trade and the union and the kids and all this kind of stuff. And China is not really happy with the union kind of thing. In fact, if you remember, if you even hear the word union, it's like saying a terrorist word. Chances are, if you're wearing any kind of clothing whatsoever or product that you have in your home, I guarantee you is made by China.
Yes,
your telephones, cell phones.
Right. But that's
Mexico, China.
That perception is changing because people, first of all, within China, there's a movement, there's a labor movement that has been, you know, burgeoning for quite a while and has really made a lot of headway. And also externally, people are starting to understand, like, hey, all the jobs are going to China. All the resources are being shipped to China. Who makes the most money in this equation? Not the product makers, and
but
not,
do we
not
care? Do we? You know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be standing in line on Black Friday, and I'm going to see a TV. Now, Melissa, you got to be very honest. I'm going to see a TV that's a 46-inch color TV, digital, fit perfectly on sale for $100. Now, the TV's made in China. By maybe blind kids with two fingers, and they worked overtime. And if you knew that was happening, but you knew that TV was on sale for $99, would you buy it?
Absolutely not. By the way, there's plenty of companies now that have been starting to make TVs locally, and they're also cheap.
But $99, Melissa.
The reason why you're paying either you think so little or so much for products.
Right.
The person who makes the most in any equation is not the brand, is not the store. It's the shipping. The shipping companies of the world make the most money off of the model of all of our products coming from overseas. The amount of import-export that we do is insane. Take a look at the shipping industry. If you really
look at you. You know what? I didn't know you were this knowledgeable. I would have had you on sooner. Look at you. You're not just a pretty face wearing pink underwear that's been refurbished.
It's sustainably grown cotton. It's hot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was from re-smoked hemp trees.
Exactly.
Anyway.
That's right.
My underwear is made by hemp. Are you wearing hemp underwear?
There's a bunch of brands. There's EcoCheeks. EcoCheeks, man, they have some hot stuff.
And that was brought to you by the people who make Melissa's underwear.
Hey, you have a plug.
Melissa's underwear. It's smoking. It's smoking. Okay. Well. Diane, you've been awful quiet during this.
Hey, you said it four times.
Diane?
Yes, dear, I'm here.
And what do you think of the conversation now in our archives?
I've been walking in and out of the rooms. I haven't really been paying attention.
No, she wants to kick my ass. Tell the truth.
You are now hearing behind the scenes at the Brian and Hammer Jackson Show.
I don't know. I mean, just to be perfectly honest, I don't like politics at all.
Well, this actually is not politics. Actually, it's economy talk. And actually, I do agree with Melissa. She has a great point. I really do agree with her. I agree with Jeffrey. Jeffrey has an excellent point. I think people are frustrated. I think the fat guys are getting fatter and the little guys are suffering more. But the bottom line of the thing is, why should we care about the little guys when we're getting such good prices? I'm not a hypocrite. I'm telling you, if I saw that TV on Black Friday and there's a kid who worked his fingers off and he only has a thumb left because he's trying to get it out, I'm going to say, kid, I'll give you a Band-Aid. Thanks for the TV.
Nah.
Dude. That's why the fat get rich and the po get po.
But that's why I'm watching a TV for $99 for 47-inch and I got all the games. But,
I know, but I believe like what Melissa said. You know, when everything's overseas, it is the shipping costs. I listen to my husband every day. I mean, He has a company in the Philippines.
Works for Boeing.
And, you know, they do a lot of Boeing stuff. You know, my husband may make...
Why are they boning over there in the Philippines?
No, not boning. Boeing, like the airplane.
Oh.
Hello, the big jet.
Oh, sorry. I just say my condolences. I'm sorry. You're a really open girl. My husband does a lot of boning in the Filipinos. Okay. Sorry, Diane.
No, but, like, let's just say he makes $40 an hour here. Now, the same person over in the Philippines that does the same job he does, they only get like $3 or $4 an hour.
Okay.
But like she was saying, it's the shipping cost.
Right.
Because they have to move that shipping cost. And that's why, you know, they'll pay the people less because they got to pay more in the shipping.
Okay. But it's coming out of their pockets.
And manufacturing and everything else.
Yes.
The best part is that not only do shipping companies make money off of shipping the raw materials to the manufacturing plants and shipping the products from the manufacturing plants to the distributors and then shipping from the distributors to, you know, the general population stores, they also get government rebates. So
well, now we're getting into the tariffs here. Are we getting into the tariffs?
But for American businesses, they get tax write-off for shipping. So
I know,
Go ahead.
You get into the tariffs and you get into this and international tariffs and this and this and this, we're getting to a whole different animal. Wouldn't you agree, Melissa?
Well, it's important to understand those tariffs because, you know, there's a reason why tariffs existed, and now we have less and less of them. Multinational companies are getting all kinds of breaks by not having to have domestic plants. Like, you know, before free trade happened in the 80s between Canada and the United States, there were American plants, Epson, Michelin, lots of car companies that had to have presences in the country itself, factories making the products, because to ship them would be to increase the price so much that it wouldn't be worth it to import something like that because nobody would buy it. So you had to basically come local, become part of the local economy, and then sell your product. But that doesn't exist anymore. And what ended up happening is those jobs ended up going through NAFTA to Mexico and other places overseas. And, you know, and all the workers, everybody's exploited, and even the consumer's exploited because the costs are being passed over to them, but the profit is going all the way up the chain to, you know, all the executives and the shareholders.
You make a great point. You do, and both of you do. You do, too, Jeffrey, and I'm sorry, Diane, that your husband's boning in Philippines. it's rough with the economy.
Maybe that's how he likes it. I don't know.
I guess. Maybe the hookers are cheaper over there. I don't know.
Oh, burn.
Don't play me so horny soundbite. But
those go to the cockfights.
Yeah, there's another subject.
Philippines.
Oh, okay. I thought there was two gay men in West Hollywood had an argument. But what I'm trying to say.
Chattamauga Boulevard.
Exactly. Melissa, you are very well. My bro. You are very well brosed. You're very well versed. I can't get Jeffrey out of my head. You're very well versed. And I should have you on. I mean, you have causes and you have good ideas and you have logic to back it up.
Thank you. Well, I'm a journalist as well, so, I know that if I go, because I do documentaries and I write, and, so researching and trying to understand the, the world around me and the reasons why things happen, not just about what's presented to me, but really why something happens is really a key part of my personality and my creative process. I really, really like to understand everything as much as possible about a particular situation because it's never as simple as it seems.
What media do you write for? You're a journalist, so is it newspapers? Is it radio? Is it?
It's different websites. I used to write for different magazines, but magazines have gone, the way of the dodo.
Hey, would you mind coming on our show anytime you have a good story you want to talk about, some breaking news or anything you want to hear and promote yourself at the same time?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to come on. I would love to be one of your regular pundits and, talk about what's going on currently in the news. My presence on social media is actually all about that, and I have quite a big audience where I focus on. Yeah, and I talk about, I don't use Facebook to, post pictures of, my food, though I do that sometimes. I mostly talk about what's going on in the world, and my bent, my focus is on social media and free press.
I would love that. Until we get sponsored for that segment, there's no pay, but there's a lot of promotion.
Oh, I would love it. I would absolutely love it.
Oh, okay. Let me ask my bros. I vote for it. Let me ask Diane and my bro to open up their mic. What do you think about Melissa coming on, giving us the up to date, and she's a journalist? What do you think?
I think it's a good idea. I like her.
I do.
Hey,
too.
You know what?
Yay! Thank you.
Even though she has any purpose.
I'm also really cute and giddy sometimes, so,
Well, no, you're so cute. And what do you think, bro?
Any perspective on anything that's going on in the world that's real time, there, seen it, been there, done that, other than the CEO bullshit, hallelujah.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, the Pakistanis can't get their shit. They're controlled by their government. China's controlled by their government. And anybody that can do it, please help.
Awesome. Well, I just want to know a little bit about sort of my journalistic background. I've done documentaries. A lot of them have been, believe it or not, hip-hop based. But I was an editor on a documentary about Haida, which is High Intensity Drug Trafficking Agency, and its connection to the FBI, NYPD, et cetera, et cetera, based on a 500-page dossier that profiled everybody in hip-hop. That was one project I worked on. I worked on another one called Death Before Dishonor, where we looked into the anti-snitching movement that was happening, especially on the East Coast, in relationship to hip-hop and different hip-hop stars supporting it, and what it meant to the community, what it meant to law enforcement, the historical background of not cooperating with police and urban communities. So that's just a couple of things. Again, I also, went to Israel and was a DP on a documentary about peace resistors and artists on all sides in the conflict. And I also was part of the streaming media team for Occupy New York. I helped them set up a studio last year. Last year was an amazing time, because one of my skills, of course, is live streaming. And
to be a part of that and to really see independent media just explode was incredible and really gave me the push to, you know, make this happen as far as getting democratizing media and getting more and more voices out there reporting the news from the ground as opposed to being filtered through mainstream.
You know, I would love to do a segment about, you know, save like the last 20 minutes for Melissa or the last, even if it's a half an hour, because she's so good. And Melissa's commentary, she'll give us a headline news and then a little bit about her commentary. What do you think?
Hey, Melissa, do you stream? What do you do on the live entity? And what's your website? Because I would love to look at it.
My website is Melissa.com. I haven't done much with Occupy live streaming in a while because I focused on, you know, on making it a sustainable business because it's very difficult to keep running, you know, running gun and doing it free. As you can, you know, see, the Occupy fluctuates. So,
oh, hell yes. Okay.
Yeah,
no, I was
just
wondering on the live stream factor. And if you were in this area, that area, whatever, because
I
do a lot of live streaming.
Okay. I have a live stream account. I can broadcast basically anywhere in the city. I live on the East Coast. I live in Jersey City. I have, you know, 20-minute access to New York City, so and especially to the downtown area, which was really great last year. I'm, like, you know, 2 or 3 stops away from the World Trade Center, so that was super easy. You know, and I've been part of a project called Global Revolution, which was the, you know, the key group, core group doing streaming media. They're still around. They're still broadcasting. And they're focused on a lot of the stuff that the mainstream media isn't talking about. Like, there's a lot of protests happening worldwide almost on a daily basis. And
do you
hear about it on the news? No. Did you know about, you know, the riot that happened in Athens? Did you hear about, you know, the rioting and protests that happened in Madrid? Did you hear about what's happening, you know, in many, many different cities all over the world?
Could you give us that content, Melissa?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, I can even get you people to talk to who are part of that, you know, that movement, who, you know, are on the ground, who can basically tell you, like, they're on the ground either in the Middle East, they're on the ground in Spain, they're on the ground in Greece, they're on the ground, you know, anywhere in the world. That's the great thing about media now, is that you can reach out and find a real source locally without that much trouble.
Well, I'll tell you, are you available tomorrow morning?
Pardon me?
I'm sorry, Brooke. I was going to ask her, are you available tomorrow morning? I'd like to test you out as a correspondent.
Sure, absolutely.
Let's see. Let me see the show tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday. We have tomorrow's Wednesday. Yes, it's a packed show. Let's say. Let's see. 10, 11. Let's go 2, 10. Help me out, Diane. 10, 11, 12. How say? Let's say 11:15, Melissa.
Okay. Yeah, and that's
11:15
my
East
time.
Coast, so that's 11:12.
Yeah.
That's 2:15 your time.
2:15 or 1:15?
Oh, I'm sorry. 11 in the morning here in California.
Yeah, so that's 1:15. Okay.
1:15. Yes.
Dude,
I don't know. Wait a minute. We're daylight saving time. Is that? I thought there were 3 hours difference. If it's 10 here, it's 1 o'clock in the East Coast, right?
Oh,
yeah. So
11, 12, 1.
Would it be 2:15 your time? 11 here?
No.
That would be 1.
Really? What's wrong with my mind? Here we go. I don't know what's wrong with my. I went to a party at Jeffrey's house, and I've never been the same. Okay. Well, it's almost. yeah. 1:15. Your time.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. Because
well,
10. See, you guys were counting 10, 11, 12. You guys were counting 1 at 10. I was having her come the second half. But you know what? I'd rather you come the first time.
That's the way.
I know.
It's
like a loaded question.
Oh gosh.
Or request.
It must have been the refurbished underwear.
Oh.
They're eco. They're sustainable cotton. They're not. They've not been recycled. That's gross, dude. Gross.
But anything that has the word stain in it, even
you're
it's sustainable.
You're focusing on stain. That's what you're focusing on.
Yeah, well, good.
Oh, Melissa, you rock.
Well,
so,
one more thing I should tell you.
1:15, it'll be 1:15 your time, and we'll make a special segment for you and your reports on what's going on and your commentary. I would like that. Could you do that tomorrow at 1:15?
Sure, absolutely. I'm excited.
Okay, thank you. Okay, you guys,
thank
go
you.
Ahead. I'm listening. I'm sorry, bro, for stepping on you. I just had to just get that in.
No, it's all good. You're going to make her refurbished panties all wet.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is why we do not have a serious journalist on the show.
Oh, damn. I like him. He's funny.
Jeff is pretty good.
Why thank you, Melissa? No, I just see, this is kind of some of the stuff I want to do through the show. Dude, I'm, anyways.
Okay.
I still got my Brokeback Buddy on my mind.
It was a romantic evening, one night on a mountain.
Yeah, but and it was special.
Yes, he looked at me and he said this.
He got a Leo for the mail thing.
The rest was history.
Yes, I did.
Damn, that's sexy.
Exactly.
Oh God, I love you, Melissa. You rock. I know I've said that before. You've got an excellent head on your shoulders. All the silliness aside and everything, I love your views. And you know who's getting boned and who is not, so to speak.
You know.
Boning is important, man. You need to know.
Apparently, to Diane. Okay.
Oh, sorry, I love
I'm
that.
I'm talking about the boning
in
Philippines. That's what I was referring to.
Exactly.
Well,
I
you know,
the word.
We're going to say goodbye, and I'm anxious to hear your report, Melissa. You are funny. You do have a great sense of humor. You're very now. Everything Jeff said, I double that. That is true. That is true. You're
awesome.
You're a breath of fresh air, because the last reporter we had. She walked out quietly, but this is what the microphone picked up. You know, because you're hired, and this would happen. Where are you going? But you're hired.
That's because he told me I had a pretty mouth.
That's it. And that was our news director.
Did anybody notice that the flight was 420?
Yeah, the flight was 420. Yeah. All right, guys.
I mean, you know, I pay attention, and then, God damn, I love you, Melissa. You are awesome. Your insight on everything.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, you know what? If you guys want to, I guess I'll send in a bunch of links so you can see sort of like the range of stuff that I've covered and some of my content, and I'm gonna get you a pretty awesome report tomorrow.
Yeah, please do, and I'll have Kelly get in contact with you because Kelly is pretty good with all that information and keeps me up to date, and she'll keep me talking halfway intelligent to you. And I'm excited. And I know my bro loves you, and if he loves you anymore, you'll be pregnant by now. And I know Diane wants you on the show.
We can see each other's hair. It'd be like a slumber party.
Oh!
You know, somehow that sounded really sexy to me and bro.
It's
amazing how
I
tried to go like innocent. You guys are like, wow.
We just put the porn music in there, and you guys doing each other hair, it works.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
And you have such nice split ends. Oh. Okay.
Anywho.
We're out of here. I love you, Melissa. Thank you so much. And that's Melissa again. Check out her website. We're in archives, so they can still hear us, Melissa. So one more time, how they get a hold of you. This is Melissa Alto, and here's how to get a hold of her and her Indiegogo campaign.
Yeah, Indiegogo.multomedia, M-U-L-T-O media, or Facebook/Multo, M-U-L-T-O, or at my website, multo.com.
I love that name. Please get support her. So she's now going to be a member of Brian and Hammer Jackson Show. So we'll be supporting her a lot and be mentioning her a lot. And we would do everything we can to promote her because she's with us and we're number one. Bro, do you have somebody you want to promote to before we leave? To your band?
To what?
Do you have anything to promote before we leave? Is there a band that you're that are coming on that you mentioned or?
Dude, I'm waiting on them to fill out the paperwork and whatnot in, lordy, in the midst, 777, they rock. It's Rock for Recovery. Dude, I've got so many stories, that's what I need to speak to you with about the L.A. show.
You got it. I would like to hear it. And also, don't forget the Black Ravens.
No, and the Black Ravens were a given. This is a newbie, and dude, this guy rocks.
All righty. We're going to hear that report, too, tomorrow. Tomorrow is on Wednesday. We'll get that in, too, my bro. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for attending the Brian and Hammer Jackson Show, full of surprises. We just got a great new addition to our family, Miss Melissa Alto. That's
yes,
gonna make her
I'm
show
so
rise.
Excited.
Oh, she is. She gets a bundle of joy. You want to put her in your pocket.
I'm your radio elf.
You are. And you are over 21, am I right, Melissa?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Just to make sure.
And 21 would make a difference to you?
No, it wouldn't. I just have to say that.
So,
oh, my God, bro.
Yeah, I just had to check your head.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Okay. See, for me, Diane and Jeffrey Bertrand, and from Melissa Alto. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you for tuning in. Bye-bye.
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
Kirkland, and I'm on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson, and I do want to have his baby.